Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. NHL's free agency is underway, and Zach Werenski has already exercised his full no-trade clause. NHL insider Elliot Friedman reports the Blue Jackets had a verbal agreement with the Dallas Stars for the Norris Trophy-winning defenseman, but Werenski vetoed that deal on Tuesday. Other reports say Werenski's camp has told the Jackets the Lightning or the Maple Leafs will be the preferred destinations. The 28-year-old Werenski has 2 years left on his current deal, but has made it known he will not be re-signing with Columbus. In NBA news, LeBron James told the Lakers to move on without him. The 41-year-old James is currently a free agent. Golden State, Cleveland, and Miami are the favorites to land LeBron. In the World Cup yesterday, Mexico eliminated Ecuador 2-0. Team USA looks to advance to the knockout round with a win tonight against Bosnia and Herzegovina. Kickoff from SoFi is 8 o'clock. In baseball last night, Rangers beat the Guardians 4-2. Reds fell to the Brewers 7-2. Both teams will go again tonight at 8. You can hear Reds baseball Wednesday right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3:10 o'clock. We hit you with a little higher or lower. Jake Trotter, ESPN, joins us at 10:30. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your questions into the fellas. We will answer those at 971-BFS and also in the YouTube chat. That starts around 11 o'clock. We'll get you officially endorsed at 11:48. For the kids out there, there used to be a periodical. I was talking about periodicals with Joshua and Tyvus a second ago, and there used to be a periodical that would show up every week, and it was called Sports Illustrated. And then for me, as a kid, it was my first kind of avenue into national sports conversation and what was going on in the world. We didn't have cable when I was a kid, so there was no Sports Center. So this was it. Here's everything that happened in the world in this week, and it was chronicled in Sports Illustrated. And it was a magazine that would chronicle the week in sports, but also tell you things before they came, preview things. And you'd always get excited for the college football preview, the NFL preview, the college basketball preview, so forth and so on. And in February of 2002, they put a high school kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated when it really still mattered at that point. And they put a high school kid on the cover. And it was pretty shocking to put a high school kid on the cover. And that was the first time I heard of LeBron James, was in February of 2002. You guys probably heard about him sooner in that you were Ohioans and he was doing a pretty good job on the high school basketball front at that time. And so my guess is people around here heard about him a lot sooner. But for me, that was it. That was the first time I heard of him, was in February of 2002. It is July 1st, 2026, and we're still talking about him. That's nearly a 25-year run of being top of mind. It is a quarter century of being one of the most famous athletes on the planet. It's a quarter century, pretty much, of being among the most famous people on the planet. And in terms of missteps, there aren't much. He's handled most of it incredibly well. Obviously, the decision was one he'd probably like to have back. But outside of that, it's been pretty smooth sailing. There's been varying opinion on that people can have on him, and he's become a lightning rod. And really, this is the other part of him that is pretty remarkable. In our business, most people will tell you can talk football, 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 and more football. And then when you talk something else, it has to cross over into the football conversation in order for you to attract a massive, massive audience. LeBron James was one of those content pieces that you could always talk about. For a quarter century, pretty much, you could talk about LeBron in one way or another, and you could get airtime out of it. Lots of airtime out of it. He's one. For the longest time, Pete Rose, betting on baseball. You could just throw that up. You'd be sitting there in a middle of July and just go, hey, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Back when we used to take calls, boom, light him up. Every opinion you'd want. LeBron James, back when we used to take calls, light him up. Where should he play next? Light him up. Tiger Woods had a little bit of that. There's a little bit of that with Tiger. In football, it's odd. The two guys that came to my mind most over my career of guys where you could just say their name and you could talk about it were certainly Tim Tebow for a certain time, and then Colin Kaepernick were two guys that they were so hot button that you could talk about either one of them and you could go. But LeBron James has been the constant. He's been the constant. It hasn't been these other guys for a very, very long time. For a quarter century, if you want to do a segment on a local radio show in Ohio or on national shows around the country. I mean, just look at ESPN yesterday. They treated him becoming a free agent as if this was 2014. That's 12 years ago. They treated it the same because the audience was there and people were curious about it. To have people still curious about you athletically 25 years after you first burst on the scene is a hell of a thing. And maybe his greatest accomplishment is, in fact, his greatness coupled with his longevity. Neither of you have ever had a world in this business without this being the case for LeBron James. Never.
He's the biggest star, singular star, in my professional career.
Mm-hmm.
And the free agent for the first time since 2018. And every time he's been a free agent, it's been the biggest story in sport.
Yeah.
There's been, and we've, think about the things that are going on right now. I was talking with radio stars Joshua Perry and Tyvis Powell about of the things in the last 2 weeks that we've had. And still none of them is bigger than 41-year-old LeBron James.
It's crazy.
I don't want to say none of them even touch it because the World Cup.
Yeah.
But right now, the biggest thing, water cooler-wise, social media-wise, even sports talk radio and television, sports update-wise, what's LeBron going to do?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll ever be repeated either. Like, I don't know if one superstar can grab that kind of attention the way LeBron has, or the way Tiger did, or we were talking about Mike Tyson yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's two things that are crazy with it to me. Number one, the longevity that he's been at or near the top of the sport, because for the longest time he was the best player in the sport, and he's not the best player in the sport anymore, but he's still really good. Like, he put up tremendous numbers last year for a guy that's 41. The other thing is, and you can talk about the decision, and you can talk about social issues with him all you want or whatever, he's never been in trouble.
Never.
You've never heard one scandal of about LeBron with his wife, with law, with any of it. And that's pretty daggone amazing, especially from a kid that grew up the way he did without a dad in the city of Akron. I always, because it was around the same time and they kind of had similar upbringings, I always compare LeBron and Maurice Claret. And I understand LeBron was allowed to go professional and Maurice Claret wasn't. But those are two paths that were, those were two tales that were very similar. And we saw one go one way. And the other has just been on the straight and narrow.
I think it's a really good point out of you. The idea that 25 years and all you can say is kind of misjudge the public opinion of making a decision on national TV. That's kind of it. There's not really anything else you can complain about. And now he'll be a free agent again. I was shocked. I just assumed that he would end up back in Los Angeles. I just assumed like he's going to live in LA the rest of his life. He doesn't want to be a villain in LA. Does he come back to Cleveland? He's up there playing golf. He was at Firestone the other day. He's at Portage Country Club today. Like, is he coming back again? Like, I'd be all for it. I know my kids would be all for it. They'd be jacked up.
Yeah, anybody who says they wouldn't want LeBron back on the Cavaliers is fooling themselves.
Dude, the first time Ahmad goes from Akron St. Vincent St. Mary High School in Akron, Ohio, LeBron James, the first time he does that, a starting lineup, they're all back.
There's a lot of idiotic discourse on social media and online and even on the radio and in our YouTube chat, but the idea that a Cavs fan, that someone that calls themselves a Cavs fan, would not want to take LeBron back in a heartbeat, considering what he did last season, what he's able to do, what he would be able to do with this roster, even with James Harden on it, it's idiotic.
I will say this, and I'm sorry, Reese. I hope he doesn't, because I'm really intrigued.
Well, you want the Wild Hogs
really
Warriors.
Intrigued about this Warriors thing.
I think a lot of people are there with you. I had the audio ready to go, but midway through it, they do the ESPN thing where you see highlights of Jaylen Brown and they play dubstep over it, and like you can't hear Brian Windhorst talking.
Oh.
But he said if the Cavaliers acquire Jaylen Brown, then they can go to LeBron and be like, huh? How about this roster?
So he would somehow want to play with Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, or are we to assume Donovan Mitchell?
I think it would be Mitchell, because if you're the Celtics.
Or it'd be Mobley.
No, Mobley is what he is. Like, that doesn't get you.
If I were the Celtics, I probably would rather have Mobley than Mitchell, honestly, because I don't need another ball-dominant guy with Tatum.
Yeah.
So it just kind of depends on roster construction. That was interesting. ESPN was out of their mind yesterday. They were out of their mind with this story. Windhorst just walking up to screens and moving things. It was unbelievable. It was an absolute scene. And he's still in the middle of it, which is just remarkable. It really is. Speaking of remarkable, today is a very big day. Today is Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. The 63-year-old Bobby Bonilla is set to collect another $1.193 million from the New York Metropolitans. He will get this every year, every July 1st through the year 2035. By the way, he also receives another $500 from the Orioles from a deferment from July of 2000.
Good for him.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until this morning.
How great is that?
Listen, Bo, we need to celebrate this because we've got less than 10 years of it left.
That's right.
We got to celebrate 10 more years every of it. Year.
Can you imagine like that? Like do nothing and like here's your seven figures for the year, bud.
The foresight of him to do that. And to say, hey, listen, give me this every. Yeah. That's insane.
It's incredible.
And isn't this the Shohei plan now? Like, isn't $700 million of his deferred?
Yeah, it's actually kind of smart for the Mets too, in that obviously they've changed ownerships a couple times, but in that their money can grow along the way. I mean, they can reinvest in those type. And so if they invest it properly, their money's growing quite a bit. So kind of win-win for everybody.
Weren't the Mets involved in the Madoff scandal?
I think they were.
Wasn't this part of it?
Was this part of the Madoff thing?
Because they thought they were going to be getting all this money, so it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So never say a good move by the Mets ever.
Never, that's fair. Yeah, Brother Bone's not here, but he can curse me even from afar. Zach Werenski did a thing yesterday. Pretty shocking to me. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Degenerate gamblers, Dave Biddle at Scotty Vegas every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Stay cool again, friends. We have a sunny and hot day ahead with our feels like yet again soaring into the triple digits. Skies turn mostly clear tonight, but we don't cool off that much with our lows in the mid-70s. And then for Thursday, another sunny, hot, and muggy day with highs in the upper 90s and our feels like into the triple digits. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air. But we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
And when you've been around for a while, you learn a few things. I like to think I know a little bit about radio. For pests, ants, and termites, though, not me. So I turned to my friends at Rose Pest Solutions. Over 165 years of experience, they've mastered their craft, the nation's oldest family-owned pest control company. The pros from Rose protect Columbus homes and businesses with expert pest prevention and treatment. Got a pest problem? Rose is a solution. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. So if you're going to choose violence with an organization, you have to understand that they may choose it back. No matter how rosy and fun the relationship has been, in the words of Michael Corleone, never personal, only business. That's the reality of all of this. So as this Zach Werenski mess started to spin towards the end of last week and then became official towards the end of last week, or at least as official as it can be, you knew that there was a chance that this would get a little bit ugly. And it appears last night it did. Elliot Friedman with this. This was around midnight last night. Sportsnet CA, Hockey Night in Canada. The Blue Jackets and the Stars had a verbal agreement for a deal that would have sent Zach Werenski to Dallas. Zach, who has a full no trade clause, vetoed it. Now, this is what's interesting about this. This was one of the teams I was listening to Craig Button on TSN talking about Zach and possible landing points, and he talked about Dallas as a place he thought that he would want to go play. Obviously not is the way that this went. And so now here's the thing. When you give a guy a full no trade, he can, to a certain extent, dictate not only where he goes, but in a way, the give back, because he has authority to veto any trade. So if you give too much, theoretically, he could just say no. And then that's going to put the Jackets in a position, I would think, of, well, we're not giving you away, so I guess if you want to waste a year of your life not playing hockey, and then that leads down a road of just complete ugly, and I hope it doesn't get there. But the idea that there was a verbal agreement to trade Zach Werenski to Dallas that was vetoed by Zach surprised me, to say the least.
Yeah, not in a good way, right? Because you wonder, what was that return going to look like for the Blue Jackets? Would it have made this team better right now? And of course you want to go to Tampa Bay. Like, who doesn't? But is that return going to make this team better? Similarly with Toronto. I was a little relieved that Toronto was one of the teams mentioned in that where he'd want to go, because I think there's pieces there that could make this team better right now. I don't know what Tampa's got necessarily that would make them better with cap space. But the idea that he's already doing this, yeah, doesn't set up for a good 48 hours. Free agency opens at noon today, and this is the start we're off to?
Yeah.
So the Toronto thing in this, I think, is good for the Blue Jackets, but it never made sense to me. Not as far as winning. So that tells me that maybe this isn't all about winning with Zach, and maybe this is more about where he and his wife want to put down roots. They just had a kid, their young family. It sounds like Toronto is easy access to both of their families. It also sounds like, as we're getting into more of this, maybe it was the Blue Jackets that have been letting this news out, because according to Elliot Friedman, Zach and his camp are not happy about how all of this has gone down and gone public and in the media. And listen, if you don't want to re-sign with your team, I understand the Jackets trying to get out ahead of this now because his value is so high. And if you reject the trade to the Stars, like, the Stars had more points last year by far than Toronto. They had more than Tampa Bay. They haven't won a cup recently like Tampa Bay, but they're a team that definitely has pieces. And it sounds like for the Jackets, and I had said this all along, I love the Dallas part of this because you could get Thomas Harley back. And you got a 24-year-old.
Seemed like he was in it, right?
Yeah, you got a 24-year-old top pair defenseman that you can plug in Werenski's spot. Now, is he Zach Werenski right now? No. But could he be? Possibly. And you were also going to get other pieces in that deal. I would think if you're Don Waddell now, you have to be on the phone with John Chyka in Toronto and trying everything you can. Because I'm with you, Reese. The pieces that Tampa Bay has to give up, or that they would give up, because I don't think they're giving up Hedman. I don't think they're giving up Braden Point.
No,
I don't think they're doing that, right?
No,
so
way.
So the pieces that they have.
Pieces.
Well, they're not going to give you the pieces that you would want, like a Brandon Hagel maybe, or, you know, you're not going to get those pieces. So
no, you would probably need a third team.
Yeah,
if you're
so
them.
I'm on the phone with Toronto, and again, I've said this all along. Morgan Riley, Matthew Nyes, that's the starting point. Let's work this out.
Yeah, this notion, you mentioned this, Friedman reporting one rumor making the rounds Tuesday night is Werenski's camp is so upset at recent developments that all trade possibilities will be rejected.
Well, he did this.
Listen, he did do this, and you also have to think of this from the Blue Jackets perspective. Can you imagine if tomorrow we woke up and we were ready to do the show, and at 9:02 they trade Zach Werenski with no warning? How does that land here? How does that land with the fan base? You have to prepare a fan base to make a deal like this. You have to. He's the face of the franchise. You have to prepare a fan base. So I don't blame them at all by making this go public. Not at all. And is this is Porty. This is pretty good from Porty. Quote, who owns it? It goes without saying that Werenski had another tremendous season. The Norris Trophy win says as much as he finished seventh in the voting for the Hart. Marchenko became the first player since Nash to lead the Jackets in goal scoring for three straight years. But it must be said, both players disappeared down the stretch when the Blue Jackets choked away a playoff spot with a 2-8-1 finish to the season. Werenski was 1-3-4 and a -5 rating those final 11 games. Marchenko had just 3 goals in the final 18 of the season. Clearly struggled when he started facing physical style of play in a playoff push. If the two players now hinting at finding new clubs and simply kept playing and producing at their normal rate, maybe the Blue Jackets would have ended their playoff drought. Rick Bonus was available yesterday because of the rookie camp that they have going on. Here was his response to the Werenski-Marchenko news.
John is very good at keeping me abreast of what's going on. Those are conversations I might have, and I don't need to be part of those, right? I'm as shocked as anyone that these came up. I mean, at the end of the year meetings, we looked each other in the eye and had great meetings and gave each other a hug leaving and all that. So everything was good. So when this all broke, I was just shocked and caught off guard like everyone else. But it is what it is. And Don and his, we'll look after with the players and their agent. And I'm going to coach who's ever here in September.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, he's... The job of Don Waddell right now in Jackets ownership is to get the best possible return for Zach Werenski. That's the job. It is muddied by the fact that Werenski has the no trade. And if he wants to play hardball on this stuff, he can almost manipulate the deal that he wants and the give back for the Jackets that he wants. And that's a really tough spot for him. He spent 10 years here, guys. He's on Hockey and Hounds with AR all the time with Maddie. Like, I don't know that you want to just leave it in a, need it just smoldering mess burnt to the ground, do you? You wouldn't think.
Well,
there's got to be some give back.
And if I'm
hope, you know what I mean? Like, you can't all go your way. Like, you got to give us something back.
Well, and if I'm Zach here, and I get maybe the initial frustration of this getting out and it turning the way it has. And I mean, listen, Zach's the villain now in this, the way this has played out, yeah. Whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, he's going to be the villain.
Here
in
will be, yeah.
Blue Jackets fans' eyes and in Columbus, I would just think if you're Zach, if you're that frustrated with this right now and the way this thing has gone, it's probably best that the divorce and the split happens now. Don't play a year here where you're frustrated and who knows, maybe he doesn't play as well. I would think he's not that guy, but you, when there's things in your head and things going on in your personal life and in the background, sometimes that affects the on-ice part of this. So if I'm Zach, sure, I would go ahead and just get this done now. Rip the Band-Aid off. Hopefully they can find a trade to a place you want to go, and they can get it done, and everybody can move on and be happy.
Yeah, the from the Jackets perspective, they do not want to... They want NHL players back. They want people who can contribute and continue to push and build things in the right direction. And you look at the, I just don't see any scenario how Tampa can do that without bringing in a third team. So if it is Toronto, which is such a wild, like, other than John Tavares, who chooses to go to Toronto these days? I mean, it's maybe just the pull of Matthews from the U.S.
Well, that
Olympic
is
win? Is that it?
Proximity to Detroit that's not Columbus.
It sounds...
I mean, we're about the same. Like, we've won as much as they have. When have they last won a series?
It sounds like, again, that him and Matthews are better friends than maybe we thought, that they do have a good relationship. But yeah, also, like I said, it sounds like it's close and easy access to both of their families, him and his wife.
Yeah. Well, he's a Detroit kid, right?
He is.
Yeah,
so we're pretty easy access,
Michigan,
too.
Well...
But maybe it's closer for her family.
Maybe she's Canadian or something. All right. Well, we'll see where all of this goes. But a pretty surprising development last night with him nixing a deal that would have been consummated between the Jackets and the Stars. History in the making tonight for Team USA at the World Cup. The boys asked me a question last night, and I'm curious your guys' answer to it. I'll ask it to you in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here is what is up today on this fine first Friday. Team USA will play tonight, 9 o'clock. They will get a chance to advance into the round of 16 at the World Cup. That is an 8 o'clock game against Bosnia and Herzegovina. That is at SoFi Stadium. Is it 8 o'clock we Eastern. Go, or is it a preamble?
Yeah. It's Fox.
Where it's, yeah, so they
I think they've been
pre-game.
Outside of it was Mexico and Ecuador last night, but that was a weather delay. I think they've been pretty good with the kick times, matching
seems like they,
the boot meeting the ball.
Yeah, seems like it. I really like their studio show, by the way. I think that Rebecca Lowe is killing it, and Henri and Ibrahimovic and even Alexi kind of being a little bit of a pain in the neck.
Zlatan doesn't offer much.
Zlatan had a great line yesterday. He was talking about the French, how talented the French team was, and the three of the five best players in the world in their attack.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're playing like a different sport. I was just watching yesterday. I'm like, there's who else is competing with that?
It doesn't feel like anybody can. So the boys asked me this question last night. I'm going to ask it to both of you, and I'm curious your answer will be. Would the United States winning the World Cup be the biggest deal ever in this country in sports? I won't give you my answer. I'm curious what you guys would say.
Yes.
If the U.S. won the World Cup.
This would be bigger than Miracle.
I want to say yes, that was going to be my one thing, is I don't know what it was like in 1980 with Miracle. Because the one thing I do know is in the United States, we feel like we're the best at everything, no matter what, even if we aren't.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was felt back then because the Russians were so dominant. So it's got to be on par with Miracle. Unfortunately, none of us were around to know that.
No, and the other thing about Miracle is, I mean, how many people even knew what you were up against? That game is on tape delay. You would have known that it was a Soviet Union because you would have all the Cold War stuff and Cuban Missile and all of that stuff is going on. But just in terms of like, did you even understand like how much better they were than us? Because it's not like you would have seen them play. You know, there's no, you weren't watching Soviet Union games on television in Columbus, Ohio in 1980. You just were told how great they were. You didn't know it. You didn't see it. You believed it. And you knew that we had college kids playing, but I don't know if you had a full appreciation of that one. That's one of those ones you'd have to talk to somebody who was around at that time to see if the shock of it was something that was felt. How big was it felt? Like, how did that word travel? Or is that something that, because we've seen it on videos, in old videotapes with your SI subscriptions 30 years ago, or you've seen the movie, or you've seen the documentaries, now we almost look back on it like we were aware in the moment of what it was. That's one that only somebody who was old enough then would be able to answer that question. So I initially said no. I said I didn't think it would. And they're like, are you kidding? And I'm like, well, I think probably the bigger thing would be if England won it again for the first time since 66, and that this is their beloved sport and all of those things. So that would kind of be my view of it. It would probably be England. And then they go, well, what would be bigger in the United States? And then I started thinking, and I'm like, so these are doing 20 million, 20, 25 million. I said, you guys are in this information silo of watching all this World Cup stuff, and it's on and it's omnipresent. But I don't know if it's something that's happening around the country at the level of, for example, of, say, a Super Bowl. Certainly not. If the United States played for the World Cup final, would it do 100 million? It might. It might, because patriotism, you get wrapped up in it. And the other thing that this has is there is a buildup to a final, right? Like, you're going to have the next 3 weeks to kind of get to that point of if they were to somehow be able to do it and play in a World Cup final, it would play out over the course of the month. I initially said no, and then they started arguing with me, and I said, gosh, you guys might be right. Maybe it would be. Maybe it would be one of the biggest deals if the United States won the World Cup. I don't know if it would mean anything for USA soccer going forward, other than you'd get a star on the jersey. I don't know if it would change the development here stateside. Hard to say. But it might be. It might be on a short list.
It's in the United States. It's at MetLife Stadium. It's July 19th at 3 o'clock. If Team USA were to be represented in that, I think it would do numbers. It would just be unfair to compare it to NFL. And I think that's where we automatically go every time we look at numbers. I think it would be unfair to compare it to even college football, like major college, like the game, major college football games. But I do think there would be conversation with everyone everywhere. And the fact that it's on Fox, available to everybody.
Yeah.
This would be a huge buildup. You'd only get a little bit of time because I think the semifinal is the day before. The
couple days before,
third place game is the day before.
Yeah.
So there would be a couple of days build up towards this, and it would be massive.
So the highest, the most viewed Super Bowl of all time was Super Bowl 59. It was the Eagles over the Chiefs. It peaked at 137.7 million. The average was 127.7, but it peaked at 137.7. Does the United States in a World Cup final do 125 million viewers? Maybe.
Yeah.
It might, because we get wrapped up in it. And especially when you look at their bracket that they're in. So you get Bosnia today, and then in terms of from there on out, they would get Belgium or Senegal on July 6th, and then most likely they'd get Spain in an Elite Eight game that for a right to play in the Final Four. You beat Spain on July 10th, and oh, baby, because after that, you're probably going to play France. Like, if they were somehow to beat Spain and France and then play Argentina in a final with Messi, yeah, now you're talking 130 million.
Yeah, I mean, the opponent, it would be massive.
Yeah.
Just because our earlier conversation, like, you watch France and you see Kylian Mbappe with two goals, which I learned they call a brace yesterday.
That's a brace, yeah.
And I go, right. Well, they're playing a different sport.
Yeah, so they
for Team USA to go up against that or a team like that, and there aren't many of them, yeah, it would be nuts.
No. You in, Bake, tonight? Team USA?
No. Probably be USA. Watching. I'll probably be
you
watching
the Sam hat for you?
Probably be watching The Sopranos. Got to keep the momentum
Where are
on
you?
That.
Where are you there? What's we're Tony up towards, to? Who's he dealing with?
We're towards the end of season three still, so.
You're dealing with Ralphie Cifaretto's in the mix?
The Jackie Jr. stuff's really starting to pick up.
Ooh.
We got to have a
little Jackie Jr. Yeah.
I can't wait to have that conversation.
You were supposed to go. He went to Rutgers. Jackie Jr. went to Rutgers.
He's not trying to deal with school. He's flunking out right now.
Yeah.
He's flunking out.
He's flunking out right now.
Accosting people in pizza shops.
It's not the ideal spot to be in. My kids will be all into this one. My guess is a great many of you will be into this one tonight at 8 o'clock between Team USA and Bosnia-Herzegovina. Our head coach is Mauricio Pochettino, and he talked a little bit about playing in the knockout round and what it means.
Yeah, I think it's we are very excited, and I think we are well prepared. We know very well that it's going to be a very tough game. It's a final, all in, and I think we arrive in a very good condition. We know that we need to perform, and if we want to be close to win, we need to perform well against a team that is going to be really tough.
Threes has got World Cup fever. He just texted. He's in. He's locked in.
Does that do anything for you, Baker?
Still no.
I'm happy for Threes. I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Look, here's the beautiful thing. If this thing starts at 8, it's done at a little after 10. I mean, you're gonna fly through it. It'll be 2 hours of total viewing, and you're good. It'd be sweet if they could do it. This has been something I just never would have guessed how much my kids are into this. They will watch any World Cup knockout game. It doesn't matter. It's on, omnipresent around the way. So let's see. The opportunity, I think, to bring it full circle, the more that I think about it, playing in the United States, if you were to win it, you'd have to go through Spain, France, and Argentina. Yeah, I think it probably would. Coach Laurinaitis is now telling you to jump in. He said, jump in, Bake. This is the linebacker coach at Ohio State, and he is telling you to do a job.
I thought you were coachable.
Private Baker.
Listen, if there was ever anything that could get me motivated to watch, it would be that.
You need Threes to yell at you a little bit.
Get on
call
the line.
You in the break, and he can yell at you a little bit about getting.
If he shows up at the studio, we might have a problem.
You could have a problem on your hands, that guy. By the way, did you see Julian's comments at the Manning Passing Academy about Peyton Pierce? My guy can coach some LBs, boys. He can
never
coach some LBs.
Yep, I mean, he was in on this before he even was here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows what he's doing. The guy knows what he's doing. All right, we'll go over the rest of the sporting world. Last night, Team USA in Bosnia-Herzegovina tonight at 8 o'clock. Frankie Hayduk, man, I have not talked to Frankie in a long time. He's going to join us tomorrow on the program.
Hopefully
we'll get
that locked in.
Yeah, hopefully we get that locked in and get that get him on the program tomorrow to break down whatever happens tonight. All right, coming up next, a lot of movement in the NBA and NHL. Not all of it benefiting the local teams, though some of it could. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
T-Bone and Tybus would like to remind you that you don't have to get in your car to listen or put on pants. Tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan and experience the stupidity in the comfort of your own home. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So, Bake, are you going to not watch out of spite now? This is kind of like Reese with Maverick. Like, we kept saying Top Gun Maverick is awesome, and Reese would just not watch it. I'm like, they actually landed the plane. Will you please go watch it?
I'll take your word for it.
Have you still not? You've still not seen it?
Oh, it just hasn't come up on my thing.
So there's no spite in any of this. Like, I don't like lettuce. So why should I eat lettuce? I don't.
What if everybody tells you a perfectly made Caesar salad is perfect?
I don't enjoy the taste. I don't enjoy the texture. So we didn't climb to the top of the food chain to eat rabbit food. So why am I eating lettuce if I don't like it or enjoy it? And people are like, well, you just don't want to try new things. That's not it. I worked every crew game for 3 years. I was there in person. Yeah. I saw it. I don't enjoy it. And I don't need the pomp and circumstance and all of that. Like, it was fun seeing the Norway fans at the golf tournament or at Fenway or a Mets game or whatever it is. It's just not for me.
I'll tell you what. If you watch the first half of tonight's Team USA game, I'll watch Top Gun Maverick.
God. I think it is so funny how many people are like,
wait,
that.
Wait, hold on now. Do we have a bargain?
I don't care if Reese watches Top Gun Maverick or not.
You know how long I care about that? I've cared about that for 6 years, for God's sakes.
I just think it's so funny, like, how many people want to push this down people that don't enjoy it. It's very interesting to me.
I think that happens in general, right? It's kind of like a show. If there's a show that becomes hot button, like four or five years ago when Yellowstone kind of took off, and it was like, you're not watching Yellowstone? Oh, you got to watch Yellowstone. You're not watching Game of Thrones? You got to watch Game of Thrones. You're not watching The Sopranos? You're not watching Breaking Bad? You got to watch. You have to. And in some instances, those things all deliver on all of it. It happens in sports, too. It happens especially in the fringe sports in our country. Football's king. You don't hear anybody walking around saying, oh, you got to watch the NFL on Sunday. Yeah, we know. We're watching it. Everybody's watching it. Same thing with college football. The rest of the sports in this country are in this spot where they've all kind of siloed, and they all have these diehard folks with them who will tell you, if you don't like hockey, well, it's because you don't understand it. No, I get it. And by the way, I do. I'm just using that as an example. People do the same thing with the NBA. You hear people complaining, the NBA is so boring now. Everything's a three or a dunk. Yeah, but you're missing all these advanced statistics that are happening, that you're missing some of these defensive matchups, the plus minus stuff. The worst one right now is baseball. I don't know if you guys saw the give and take between Herb Street and Dallas Braden on the fact that he wants minor league, he wants the NL from his youth. We all want what was great in our youth. Nostalgia is potent, as Don Draper said. The reality is that the sport has changed a great deal. And Herbie's like, I just want athletes moving guys around, the pressure of all of this. Well, it's all gone. The National League is gone for all intents and purposes. It's gone. So sports evolve sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. But as you are these other sports other than football, you do get constantly fed. If you don't like it, it's because you don't understand it. And I think that that's disrespectful to people. I think a lot of people understand it fine. We've grown up in this country with baseball. You certainly understand it, just might not have an interest in it the way that you did 30 years ago because we have a ton more options. And the same is true of hockey and soccer and basketball. Football is the only one that you don't have to say that about. All the rest of them have this group in a silo telling you how great it is and trying to make you watch it. So, yeah, I think that's a very real thing in this country.
And it's funny, Bo, you're talking about shows. Like, you know, I'm not a shows or movies guy really either. Like, I've never seen Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or Sons of Anarchy or any of these, like, major shows. Now, I watch Yellowstone because that appealed to me. That was interesting. I never watched Sopranos before, but it was something that always appealed to me, and I thought I would want to, and then you guys talked about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. But like a lot of those things, they just don't appeal to me, and I don't know why you would do that when there's so many options for your time nowadays.
That's the big part of it, is we now live in a world where you're being pulled in a million different directions, and I do think that is one thing that this World Cup has done for like my kids' generation. They do not play soccer. They played when they were very little because everybody plays soccer when you're little. Go to locker soccer and have the best time of our lives. But that's once they had choices, they navigated away from it. But to listen to them talk about, like Beamsy talking about Michael Olis, who plays for Bayern Munich and France, and knowing that Real Madrid has put in a $200 million bid to acquire him. Like he's paying attention to all of this stuff now. So it's one of those things that when I think about what it takes to break down the wall for them is extreme, because they didn't grow up how we did, where there wasn't something on. I mean, they live in an on-demand life. Whatever you want to watch, you can watch it whenever you want to watch it. They don't have to wait for anything. They don't have to sit through commercials. Their world is totally different than the one that I grew up in. And I think that's what makes what has happened with this World Cup so remarkable, is it kind of has broken through that wall for people who otherwise wouldn't care about it. And we saw this in February with the Olympic hockey team. A lot of people don't normally watch hockey, but Team USA comes about and they're playing in a gold medal game against Canada. Yes, sir. May I have another? People are in. Sometimes this happens in baseball. Sometimes it happens in hoops. But we have two examples of it in soccer and hockey here in the last few months.
Did people push it, the hockey? Like, you have to watch this. Yeah, because I don't know. And I mean, I know
you didn't notice it because you were already watching.
I know we talked about it, but I don't feel I was like, hey, you got to be doing this. You have to.
Well, if on the show, what if Reese and I were like, yeah, we're not watching it?
Well, that's fine.
You probably would have been like, wait a second.
That's
what? Okay. You're not watching Team USA play for gold?
I don't think it would have bothered me at all, though.
It doesn't bother me at all that you aren't watching. What I'm saying, though, is for the people, the hockey was in your silo. So you didn't hear people
asking
people to watch it. Yeah.
If there were pushers, are pushers in this.
I think there were. I think there were people saying, look at how great this is. You got to be watching this. I think that happens. I think it probably happened. Maybe not to the degree that you feel it with the soccer, because you're in the middle of it now. But it's been a pretty big success. A lot of movements in the NBA and NHL. The Kawhi Leonard going back to Toronto last night was pretty interesting to me. So the Clippers sent Kawhi Leonard back to Toronto for Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, and unprotected first round picks in 31 and 33. Brandon Ingram's bounced around a lot, but now Kawhi goes back to Toronto. And if you look at their team, if he can be healthy, which is always a big if with him, and it's weird, he only played the 1 year there.
Well, he got exiled there.
Yeah, he did get exiled there. Yeah, you're right. Reese, Pop said, here, you want out? Go to Toronto.
I think we forget that because they won.
Yeah, they won it.
I mean, because he was awesome. He was, the number is, he scored 732 points during that playoffs, which is the third most in a single postseason in NBA history. Michael Jordan had more in 92. LeBron James had more in 2018. And it was likely because they had to have more.
Yeah.
To basically put the team on their back and will them to an NBA championship. And that's what Kawhi did. And yeah, hilarious how with Popovich, like, you won out? Well, here's Toronto. And then they won it all.
And then they won it. Yeah. So he goes back there. I did see some stuff on the NHL front. Bob potentially to Toronto. Did that have any more legs this morning? I saw that last night a little bit. And then I thought I saw Oilers and Elvis.
All right.
That's something that Reese found and put in there. I had not heard that. But I mean, the Oilers, there's a little bit of smoke with Bob too. Mm-hmm. There. The Oilers in Toronto both are almost always in on any goalie because they haven't had a good goalie in so long. I mean, that would be a favor to the Blue Jackets, right? I don't know if the Jackets would have to eat any of that contract, but it's just the 1 year now, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob would be interesting in Edmonton.
If you get
bless you,
Vezina Thanks. Bob, the goalie Bob that we knew here and you've gotten part of the time in Florida, absolutely. With Connor McDavid, that's dangerous.
All you need him is hot for a couple months. And he's certainly shown the ability to do that. All right, second hour of the program coming up next. We'll have a little Jake Trotter joining us at 10:30. We kick it off a little Higher or Lower. That is coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day to all who celebrate. The Mets must pay their former slugger $1.9 million on July 1st of every year until 2035. Pretty good gig if you can get it. LeBron James is looking for a new place to play. He told the Lakers Tuesday to move on without him. The 41-year-old James is a free agent for the first time since 2018. Golden State, Cleveland, and Miami are the favorites to land LeBron. NHL's free agency is officially underway at noon today. Last night, Zach Werenski reportedly killed a verbal agreement between Columbus and Dallas that would send the 28-year-old defenseman to the Stars. Werenski has a full no-trade clause and reportedly wants to be dealt to Tampa or Toronto. In the World Cup yesterday, France, Norway, and Mexico advanced into the round of 16. Team USA hopes to join them, but needs to beat Bosnia and Herzegovina tonight at SoFi Stadium. Kickoff there is at 8 o'clock. And in baseball, both the Guardians and Reds lost on Tuesday. This update is sponsored by RCD RV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Get your officially endorsed coming up at 11:48. Tim May at 11:30. Jake Trotter at 10:30. Right now, though, time for a little Higher or Lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
All right, so if you're a Big Ten tribalist, this might sit well with you. If you're an Ohio State fan, this might not sit well with you.
No.
I saw this morning that Blake Brockermeyer had an article at CBS Sports. So again, Mr. Brockermeyer from CBS Sports is where you want to channel your anger. Not to me. I'm just the messenger here. But he has college football's top 10 quarterback rooms entering 2026. At number one, he has the Oregon Ducks with Dante Moore and Dylan Raiola. At number two, the Texas Longhorns with Arch Manning and MJ Morris. At number three, Utah. Okay. Higher or lower for the Utes at three?
All right. Jumps the shark early on this one. Oregon is the rightful one. I don't have a problem with that. They have Dante Moore, who's in certainly the vicinity. He probably would have been the second quarterback taken in the draft last year had he gone out behind Mendoza. He would have probably gone somewhere in the top 10. So they get him to come back, and then behind him, whatever you think of him and the mimic of Mahomes and all of that, is a guy who started 2 years at Nebraska. Like, Dylan Raiola played a lot of football at Nebraska, so I get them being number one, and I think that that is a worthy number one. I do not think that Texas should be number two. I do kind of wonder if people are just falling back under that spell of Arch Manning. He gets so much credit. I want to say it was a win at Mississippi State in November that he really lit him up, that he gets a ton of credit for. But there, it was a really uneven season for him last year. I would not have Texas 2. I don't understand Utah at 3 at all. I don't get that one at all. You got a brand new coaching staff. Is Devin Dampier the quarterback there still?
Yes.
Yeah. That's way too high. Way too high for them. Utah should not be third. I'd have to look at the rest of this top 10 to see where they should land, but they should not be third on this list in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Utah is way too high. The part of their reasoning here is their backup, Bird Ficklin, got in and had 13 touchdowns last year. I don't think that's... I think Oregon is the unquestioned number one. I believe, and I could be wrong, I think Dante Moore is the best quarterback in college football this year. Fair. And then you put an experienced starting quarterback with the pedigree that Dylan Raiola has. Now, he obviously hasn't lived up to that, but he started a lot of football games at Nebraska. I think that that's number one. I think Texas is too high, too. I think you've got a couple teams that need to jump up here into this top five over these two. I don't even know if I would have Utah in my top 10.
Well, I don't know that I would either. I wanted to pull up the Arch Manning game logs to see if I'm missing something that I with him. I know he's big, I know he's athletic, all of that stuff, but just in terms of like his, did he have better games that I'm forgetting? So he ended up last year 31-63, 61% completions, 26 touchdowns, 7 picks. That's a pretty low completion percentage. In terms of games down the stretch, because he was really pretty middling in the middle. What is that? It's the Mississippi State game. That's the one I'm talking about. That's, yeah. So that was in late October. They won in overtime. He went 29 of 46 for 346, 3 touchdowns and a pick. He was really good against Vanderbilt. 25 of 33, 328, 3 touchdowns and a pick. That was a win. He was bad against Georgia in a 35-10 loss. Okay against Arkansas. Texas A&M, not much. And then beat Michigan in the bowl. But, I mean, his highest completion percentage the second half of the season was the game against Vanderbilt. Everything else was below 62%.
The name, it's the Manning name.
Yes, yeah.
It's going to carry him into the NFL despite being... gosh, is the Manning name worth a whole round earlier than he should?
Maybe.
In terms of draft status.
It was funny. I heard driving home yesterday, AR and Maddie talking a little bit about Arch Manning, and they kept comparing Arch to, like, just with the hype, a Trevor Lawrence or... a Andrew Luck or something. And I'm like, how about just his uncle and his uncles? Yeah, uncles, the Manning brothers? Let's just, that's the easy one right there.
They're all there, yeah. And Eli had all of that. And Peyton started as a true freshman at Tennessee because of injuries. Eli redshirted his freshman year at Ole Miss, but yeah.
Speaking of the Mannings, Ole Miss is in at 4 on CBS Sports top 10 quarterback rooms entering the 2026 college football season. You got Trinidad Chambliss. And then they have Deuce Knight out of the portal from Auburn. So Ole Miss is at 4. Ohio.
Where the hell are the Buckeyes, Reese?
Ohio State's at 5.
Okay.
Julian Sain, Tavian St. Clair. LSU is at 6. Sam Levitt and someone named Longstreet. Higher or lower for LSU? Recruit.
I would have LSU higher. I would have Ohio State number 2 on this list. I think Julian has spent this entire offseason being disrespected in a big, big way for a guy who damn near set the single season record for completion percentage in his first year as the starter and might get it this year. I just think it's absolutely wild how much he's disrespected. So I would have the Buckeyes 2 on this list. I think the Sam Levitt to LSU feels like a match made in heaven. And I think LSU is going to be really good. I know some people think they spent $60 million, something like that, on a roster. They got the best quarterback in the portal in Levitt. To me, they're set up and ready to go. So I think LSU's in a pretty good spot here going forward. That Longstreet kid, I want to say, started at USC.
Correct.
If memory serves, yeah. And was a big recruit there. So they're in a pretty good spot. Speaking of USC, I think USC's a little better than where they're represented because we haven't called their name yet.
So I think it's interesting how you do this with quarterback room. Because I kind of look at it, you've got to weight the starter a certain way, but you also have to have your confidence in the backup in there. So I think Julian Sain is right behind Dante Moore.
Me too.
As a starter. But I have a lot of questions about Tavian St. Clair. So I would have LSU and Ole Miss a little. I would have them 2 and 3. Actually, I think I would have Ole Miss 2. And LSU 3, because Deuce Knight in his one start with Auburn last year looked pretty daggone good. And he's a highly recruited guy as well. Houston Longstreet got in, I believe, like 40, maybe around 50 snaps last year. And he looked okay, too. And he's a guy that's very highly rated. We just really haven't seen Tavian St. Clair in a game. So as much as I like Julian, I have questions about him compared to those other two. So I would have Ohio State higher. I would have them at 4. But I would have Ole Miss and LSU both higher on this if we're looking at the whole quarterback room.
So you'd mentioned Longstreet's former school, Southern California. The Trojans are in at 7 with Jaden Maiava and Sam Heward. And then at 8, the Miami Hurricanes. At 9, the Houston Cougars. At 10, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish with C.J. Carr and Noah Grubbs. Higher or lower for the Irish there?
I was listening to McShay. He had a breakdown of the Manning Passing Academy. And again, this is guys throwing in T-shirts and shorts. But that C.J. Carr was the most impressive quarterback there. So I know a lot is expected.
We have that audio if you want it later.
Do you? Yeah. I mean, we can get into that coming up next if we have it. But so I think there is a lot of buzz around CJ. I guess how I would weight this is 80% starter, 20% backup. That's how I would do mine. I would put 80% of the power of the room on the starter and then 20% on the backup. It's rare that you get to a backup situation. I know, obviously, we've done it very famously here. But I would probably put 80% of it on the quarterback. So I would have Notre Dame higher on this list with CJ Carr. Houston, is that Wegman? Is he still there?
Yeah. A former projected number one draft pick.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Miami probably a little higher, too, at Darian Mensa. A lot of people pretty high on him. He was a big-time guy in the portal. I just think they got Utah really way too high. That's kind of the one. And then I think they're way too high. I think Texas should be somewhere like 5 or 6. Utah should maybe be out of the top 10. And then I think maybe you're on to something.
I would have Notre Dame higher on this, too. And again,
yeah.
I don't know their backups. I'm sure they're highly rated. Grubbs and Hebert, the two guys that are battling for their backup spot. But it sure seems like C.J. Carr is a pretty darn good quarterback. He came into Notre Dame and started as a freshman and never looked out of place. So I would have Notre Dame probably up in that 5 or 6 spot.
Yeah.
In terms That's of fun. Quarterback rooms, is there anybody in the Big Ten we might be forgetting? So off the top of my head, I can't.
I just think maybe...
Like no Georgia. Like, Georgia's not on this list. Like I know Gunnar Stockton's nothing special, but, like, are you sure he's not... That their room isn't? When you consider everything about it? Like, how do you weigh a room? I mean, I think about the circumstances they're in, too.
I would think maybe Indiana, just because Cignetti's done it two times in a row.
Yeah, it's almost like prove us wrong now at this, or prove him wrong at this point. But I'll tell you one who wasn't on there, who a year ago you would have said absolutely is Michigan. The Underwood experience has not gone according to plan there. So how about the beloved ponies? Can't get Kevin Jennings a little bit of love in the top 10 there? Nothing there. Bo Bachmeyer at BYU rocking a 47. No top 10 love for those guys.
Kind of surprised that BYU wasn't. You have Utah and not BYU. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You do have that audio on from McShay on some of the quarterback stuff?
We do.
All right. We'll get into that coming up next. And kind of a summer of disrespect for number 10 in Scarlet and Gray. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Stay cool again, friends. We have a sunny and hot day ahead with our feels like yet again soaring into the triple digits. Skies turn mostly clear tonight, but we don't cool off that much with our lows in the mid-70s. And then for Thursday, another sunny, hot, and muggy day with highs in the upper 90s and our feels like into the triple digits. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly and always brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. Wedding weekend's coming up this month, kids. Check them out. Easton Sawmill, they'll take care of you. I assure you of that. This has been the summer of disrespect for Julian Sain. I say that it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it has been pretty interesting how, whether it's a quarterback ranking room, whether it is a mock draft, whether it is someone ranking the starters, he's in even Heisman stuff, although he does get a little bit more Heisman stuff. He's usually not viewed as a first-round pick in a lot of these mock drafts from a quarterback perspective. He's usually, I mean, we were just fifth on this thing, and he was a Heisman finalist last year, and we're talking about quarterback rooms, and the guy behind him is a five-star. Like, on the strength of Sain alone, they should be somewhere in the top two or three based on all of this. There's been buzz for other quarterbacks. Obviously, Dante Moore speaks for himself and is very much deserved. CJ Carr is having himself a nice summer as well, at least in the PR sphere. All of these guys were down in, they go to Louisiana for this? I believe they do, for the Manning Passing Academy. This is something that the Mannings have been doing forever since Peyton was a player, and they all go there and do it, and you've seen some of the videos of it, and now they let guys like McShay in there, and they get a chance to take a look at these guys. So Todd did, and he had some high praise for CJ Carr.
CJ Carr, Notre Dame. Wasn't even close.
Love it.
Julian Sain was there, and Arch Manning was there, and there were a lot of other guys that were exceptional. His performance in throwing the football was like, that's the jumping off point. Man, like, I know he's Lloyd Carr's grandson, and he's been around the game his whole life. And we've watched his tape, and we're going to dive in even more for Thursday and get into all the nitty gritty, right? The areas he can improve, what his strengths are, all of it. Man, when you think about like Brady and Breeze, and you think about like the modern day, even like Mendoza last year, talk about like repetitive, like repeatable form mechanics. It's like, I don't want to say robotic because he's not a robotic player, but like when it comes to footwork, timing, ball out, just standing there, watching him, even like warming up, like hands here, bang, hand here. But so, and yeah, it's not pads. There's no defense and all that. I get it. I'm not going to oversell it, but you always look for what's different, whether it's the Senior Bowl, combine, but more so like all-star games or just on tape. How easy his stroke is, how mechanical, and I don't mean that in like a robotic way. I mean it like he just, what's supposed to be hit is hit. When the ball's supposed to be out, it's out.
Yeah, it's interesting. CJ had a pretty good first year starting at Notre Dame. I always look at, okay, how'd you do against ranked? So they lose their first two games of the year last year, lose at Miami 27-24. He's 19-30, 221, two touchdowns and a pick. Then they lose at home to Texas A&M 41-40. Neither one of those were probably on him. 20-32, 293, a touchdown and a pick. They don't play another ranked team until they play USC. He went 16-26 for 136, a touchdown and a pick in that game. And then against Pitt, he went 21-32, 212, two touchdowns, two picks. Now, I will acknowledge he does not and did not have Julian Sain's targets last year. He did not have first round picks and one of the greatest receivers to ever play college football. So statistically, he's a long way off from Julian just in terms of production. And I'm not trying to put that on him. But he's going to get some of Julian's targets this year to throw to. He's got a couple of them in Quincy and Milan are over there who he's going to be thrown to this year a little bit. If Notre Dame has a first round quarterback who happens to be the grandson of a legendary Michigan coach, I'm for it. I'm thrilled by this. I would love nothing more than CJ Carr to go somewhere in the top 10 in next year's draft and Michigan fans having to look across and see, wait a second, that kid grew up here. That's Lloyd's grandson. Is it Notre Dame? Sign me up for that. You go, Marcus.
That put up against Bryce Underwood and the idea that Kyle Whittingham might have had to take this quarterback because they'd already given Underwood so much money, where like a coach comes in and doesn't get to choose his starting quarterback, is a wild bit in the NFL. And it's becoming more of a wild thing in college, where you bring in a new coach and you kind of want to give him that freedom, but not the case at Michigan, where they got a quarterback who many say is Bryce Underwhelm. And then there's CJ Carr taking Notre Dame to the playoffs.
Yeesh.
That would be a shame.
Wouldn't it?
Bo, when watching CJ Carr, and obviously didn't watch him every game that he played like we did with Julian Sain, but I go back to something that you said last season after week one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, Julian, it looked right. He didn't look out of place. They could have given him more.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt the same way watching CJ Carr. Like, it may not have always been great in his first year starting, but it looked right. The moment was never too big for him. And he didn't have the receivers to throw to that Julian did, but he did have a hell of a running game that I'm sure helped him. But he never looked out of place. It looked like he could handle more. And I think that's maybe the biggest compliment you can give a guy like that in his first year.
Yeah, I remember vividly coming on here the Monday after the Texas win last year and having that conversation. It was my biggest takeaway from that game. I knew the defense would be lights out, but all eyes were on Arch. And this is Julian Sain making, think about what we put that through that kid into. First ever start, Texas at home. It's a lot going on. And he didn't seem out of place at all. And I do think Julian has taken on a lot of slings and arrows this offseason for what happened the last two times that we saw the Ohio State offense play. And how much of that was on him. The one thing that you constantly get from scouts are, you know, when he's off platform, when it's not on schedule, when it's not these things, that's where you start to see some of the struggles. Well, it's possible that you played the two best defenses other than your own in college football to end the season last year. And they did that to a lot of people. They had those type of impacts. So, I give him quite a bit more grace for the way that it finished based on what I believe him to be as a quarterback and based on what I saw in the 10 games previous to those, 12 games previous to those was pretty dang good quarterback play. You do the game log thing. You play the game that I just played with CJ Carr with Julian. And again, acknowledging that, you know, the talent that Julian's thrown to is quite good. But against ranked teams last year, Texas 13-20, 126, a touchdown and a pick. Illinois 19-27, 166, two touchdowns, no picks. The next time Ohio State played a ranked team was actually Michigan, 19-26, 233, three touchdowns, one pick. Then in the Indiana game, he went 21-29, 258, a touchdown and a pick. And then in the Miami game, 22-35, 287, a touchdown and a pick. The Indiana game, the Miami game was really the only one that I look back on and thought he looked a little uncomfortable. Was in that Miami game. Certainly in Indiana too, but I think the whole offense was uncomfortable against Indiana.
Yeah, the offense was sluggish against the Hoosiers, but the Hoosiers defensively were great. And then against Miami, and this is done with scarlet and gray glasses on. I acknowledge that. But Miami had two first round talents at defensive front that Ohio State just didn't have an answer for. Bain and Mesidor lined up on the same side of the ball and Ohio State said, yeah, we'll run the play.
Yeah.
Like, guys, it didn't look like they were prepared from an offensive standpoint for what Indiana was able to do until too late for the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game. And then the final two teams were the only teams that beat Ohio State. And I would argue the Indiana game was as close as a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, maybe not so much, but this is all growing from a first-year starting quarterback who everything was new in front of him.
I think you also, in that Miami game, and again, it's not to make excuses because I feel like the Ohio State coaches should have known this before going into the game, but they started the wrong guy at right guard, it sure seems like, because the first guy that was in there, they had a lot of trouble. The second guy that came in, who is a guy that's been with you for a long time, now he's battled injuries, but he was supposed to be your heir apparent at the center position, and Josh Padilla, he gets in there at right guard. And things change a little bit. And Austin Servold was playing a little hurt. They got him out of there and put Ian Moore in. And it seemed like the offensive line did a better job in the second half. They just got off to a poor start in the first.
Yeah. And I just really believe that a full year here on campus, as expertly as he has been coached, as expertly as he has been prepared by Ryan Day, by the room, and his physical transformation that we've seen over the last year. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video of him at the Manning Passing Academy. I mean, he looks pretty big. He looks like he's ready to go. So I think it's going to check all of the boxes, and I'd be shocked if he's not doesn't have a massive year.
And I don't think we can ever underestimate that. Sure, it was the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's your first time playing in a Michigan game, your first time playing in a Big Ten championship game, yeah. Your first time playing in a college football playoff game. When he does that a second time around, there will be nothing unsure. He'll know. He'll have seen it all before.
Well, and furthermore, like, did the schedule prepare them for those type of games?
No.
And it did not last year. Because Penn State wasn't Penn State. You needed Penn State to be Penn State so you could have an sharpen irons game, and you didn't. This year, you will. This year, you're at Texas. This year, you're at Iowa. This year, you're at Indiana, at USC, Oregon here. You're going to be tested four or five times before you even get to the Michigan game. It's a totally different feel. Last year's schedule, because of Penn State falling off a cliff, was pretty paper thin all the way through. And that won't be the case this time around. We'll get Jake's take on all of this coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival.
That man is Jake Trotter.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
Buddy, you had the Greek Fest last week, didn't you?
We did. Record festival this past weekend.
Let's go. What was the favorite meal, food, morsel of food that you ate?
So I work pretty hard during the festival, and I don't really, once you start snacking, you'll just be eating throughout the entire day. So I don't eat until I get home at night, and then I have my first meal of the day. I can, as long as I'm up and around doing stuff, I can kind of go without eating. My problem is when I'm just sitting at home working on a story, then I'm like, I'm really hungry. So I had I had lamb shank, and then it was just kind of what was left over, a little pastizo one day. There was a zucchini, which is like a meatball. I still got some leftovers here, and I've been eating Greek food for several days in a row now, which I'm ready for something new, maybe.
Pretty healthy, though. I mean, that's, you know, the Greeks, they're pretty healthy with their operation. So that's
absolutely
a win on that.
Yeah, no doubt. Although some of what I was eating the last couple of days was not on the healthy end of the spectrum.
It was not there, buddy. What did you make of the Ohio State press conference last week with Ross Bjork, where he talked about a $500 million athletic department budget?
What is it now? Do you know what it is now?
It's got to be in the threes, high twos, low threes.
I mean, I remember when, how long ago was it when they were in the 120,000 range, like the high end athletic departments? I mean, it was not
15 years, 10 years, maybe 10 years ago.
I was going to say almost less than 10 years. It's crazy. I mean, you have to, you know, if you want to be competitive in everything, which is what Ohio State wants to do, they don't want to be good in five sports. They want to be good in 20.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a lot of funding. And then if you want to be great in football and basketball, that's going to take millions. So yeah, it does not surprise me. That's where we are. And again, like the cost of everything, whether it's paying coaches or players or buying tickets, it's just going to continue to skyrocket.
You've been around programs all over the country, and Ohio State still has 36 sports. And I said earlier this week, I think that's untenable. And I almost feel like you have to run like two athletic departments, ideally. Like you're running one that takes care of football and men's basketball, and in some cases you have other revenue-generating sports, women's basketball, whatever, that make a little bit of money. Everything else almost has to go back to a completely collegiate model, like the old way. And this isn't fair, and nobody's going to love hearing it, but Jake, I just don't understand how you can try to treat non-revenue generating athletes the same as revenue generating athletes. It's not fair, but I just don't know how you do it and make the books work.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of schools, you know, they're taking their, you know, what is it, 20 point, is it 20.5? I can't even remember now.
It keeps moving.
it's already gone, you know, yeah, it's moving in the direction going higher. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of schools, you know, they would pick up 4 or 5 sports where that money would go to. You know, some schools it would be, you know, fall men's basketball, women's basketball, and then baseball, softball. Some places, you know, has wrestling. Others have volleyball. You know, you go down the list. Each school is different in how they're going to, you know, allocate money. And I think that the programs that want to have great basketball teams, you know, are going to have a hard time balancing, you know, that in football. So that's, you know, that's number one. And like, if you want to be good in baseball, I mean, let's forget football and basketball. You want to be good in baseball, you're gonna have to pay $1 million to go get a big time player in the portal. Or
softball, that happened at Texas Tech.
Softball, it's the same way. So Ohio State is in an interesting spot because we've talked about before, you know, Ohio State could be really, really interesting in baseball and softball. I mean, there's a lot of good high school baseball in the state of Ohio. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Ohio State just hasn't been relevant nationally baseball. I mean, weather has something to do with that, obviously, sure, as it does for all the northern teams. But you still see, you know, teams with questionable weather. You know, Nebraska, you know, sticks out both in softball and in baseball, mm-hmm, that, you know, that have gotten to the College World Series, that have gotten into the top five of the polls and have gone out and gotten, you know, big time, you know, free agents, college free agents. So, yeah, I mean, I think Ohio State, like, there's something to be said for being good in everything from, I mean, what, like, you know, lacrosse or golf or, you know, tennis or swimming, et cetera. And then, you know, the stuff that has a little bit of juice that isn't football in terms of revenue, which would, I think baseball and softball would fit into that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that's tricky for athletic, for Ross Bjork and anybody who's running an athletic department, you almost have to go to your alumni base. You got to almost just say, like, hey, what do you want to be good at? What you guys tell me, what's important to us? Is it important to build another ice rink? Is it important? You mentioned two sports. Wrestling has won a national championship at Ohio State in my time covering the team. The lacrosse team, the men's team, has played for one. And we get national championships in tennis and all these other things around here. But it's
when,
like,
you see ice hockey, you know, places like Michigan, women's ice hockey be really popular.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, you almost have to decide. Like, I think Penn State, I give them a little credit here. Like, they kind of saw, okay, obviously we're always going to be good at football, but what if we can be great at wrestling? What if we can be great at ice hockey? And then they threw some NIL that way. Unless you have the Cody Campbell model where I just want to be great at everything and I'm willing to write checks for all of it, save for that, those are the hard decisions that have to be made.
What would you do if you were Ohio State?
I mean, it's never a positive thing to say around here, but I would get rid of some of these sports and I would play sports that are played by kids that play in the OHSAA. And if the OHSAA is a sanctioned sport, then I would have it be a sanctioned sport at Ohio State. And I would try to say for everything other than football and men's basketball, everything else should be an Ohio generated operation where we're going to have
Ohioans play here right now.
What do you mean, buddy?
What are the mismatches right now? The non-association sports.
I'd have to pull
at Ohio State.
For the longest time, now they have they have volleyball now. But for the longest time, the state of Ohio didn't have volleyball. I don't know if the state of Ohio has fencing, pistol, rifle. These are just men's sports. Men's gymnastics. I don't know if the state of Ohio has men's gymnastics. There is everything else looks to me to be an Ohio one, but I think we just did 5 on the girls' side. Artistic swimming, I don't know if that's an OHSAA. Fencing, I don't know if that is. Gymnastics, I think although it might be club. Rowing, rifle, pistol, again, swim and dive. Swim and dive is. Dance, I don't know. That's a scholarship program at Ohio State. So there's a handful you could probably have to have hard conversations about.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate the well-balancedness of that with Ohio State. But again, does it come at the expense of you having, you know, a baseball team that can make the College World Series? I don't think it would take Ohio State very much to go from what they are now to being like, oh, wow, Ohio State's 10th in the country this year in baseball. I mean, they could do that if they wanted to, you know, same as softball. But again, it's hard to do that when you're funding, you know, 25 programs.
They have 36 total sports.
36.
Men's and women's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Texas 36. Has 18. Like, and those are two very similar institutions. Like, you get twice as many programs you're trying to support. It just, it's a really tough.
It's very Stanford-ish. It's very Stanford-ish.
Jake, you can steal this line anytime you want. My line around here is Ohio State wants to be Alabama in football and Stanford and everything else. That's their ambition.
Pretty lofty goal to aspire
it is.
To.
It is. What did you make of the Michigan president this week saying, we're not a part of the College Sports Act because we are not going to give up a 100-year advantage that we've had of building our brand? Kind of said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of speaks to, like, we can't agree on anything right now. And you know, people say, you know, why can't we, you know, I think like the average sports fan assumes that the playoff is expanding, and it's not, because nobody can agree on what to expand it to. So everything's just going to remain status quo, which I think we both agree is not great, until the leaders at all these institutions and conferences can agree on stuff. We just seem so far away from that. I mean, that was at Texas, and Texas A&M, I think, issued, you know, their own statement the other day. You know, one thing about the Greek festival, it's like I'm in a black hole. Like, I didn't even know LaMelo Ball had gotten traded to the Timberwolves until like 2 days later. I'm just in an absolute, black hole news-wise.
Worst black holes to be in, buddy.
Yeah, well, at least it's in late June too, and not much was going on. It was always hectic when I was covering the Browns, because something would inevitably happen, you know, like a Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson trade, during all of that. But yeah, I did see that, and my first thought anytime I see something like that is we just can't agree on anything, right? I mean, that's kind of the bigger point.
Yep, I think you nailed it, buddy. Glad the festival went off without a hitch, and we'll talk again next week. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the 4th, you and the fam.
Okay, same to you both. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Jake Trotter, ESPN college football writer, joining us on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Berg.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Jake Diebler opened Ohio State's practice to the media on Tuesday. Adam Jardy caught up with Amari Bynum, who said leaving Ohio State was never on the table after his freshman season. Quote, I think all along I knew I was coming back. This is the school that believed in me at first, so I want to believe in them, end quote. Jardy said the 6'8", 245-pound Bynum joined Bruce Thornton as the only Buckeye to play in all 34 games last season. He averaged 9.7 points and 4.9 rebounds. He led the team with 37 dunks, and Jardy says he generally played his best basketball as the season progressed. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it was a big thing, the way he played down the stretch and the fact that he came back, and it seemed like the onus that they put on was him and Junie. Like, make sure those guys come back, and then we'll build the rest around it. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation when we get to this. I guess it'll be in October, and we have that conversation of what is the standard we're going to judge this Buckeye team by, because it's been a pretty big investment, and they're kind of set up like this should be a top, what, 5 or 6 team in the Big Ten minimum. Feels like it to me.
Yeah, I think at the end of this quote, it probably should have said, and they paid me really, really well to stay.
Sure.
That's just, I guess that's just the world we live in. I'm guessing he wouldn't have had the same sentiment if their offer wasn't on par with what he could have got somewhere else. But you're right, Bo. I've said this a couple times on the weekends where I look towards the end of the season as we're heading towards the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament this year, and I see a court with Amari Bynum, Junie Mobley, Anthony Thompson, and LJ Smith out on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who the fourth is. Maybe you play small ball and it's Justin Pippen or Jimmy Williams, or you've got Josh Ojonwana or Yelovich on the court at the center at the five position. That's a basketball team that you haven't had at Ohio State talent-wise in a long, long time. And that's exciting.
No, you got NBA guys. I mean, that's what you got. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see how this all comes together.
It was reported yesterday the NFL Players Association and Brendan Sorsby will not be pursuing litigation after the NFL had their decision to not hold a supplemental draft. Sorsby instead will shift his focus in preparation for the 2027 NFL draft. The league sent a memo to all 32 teams. For purposes of league and CBA rules, Mr. Sorsby will be considered a draft-eligible player in the 2027 NFL draft. Mr. Sorsby will not be eligible to sign an NFL player contract until the completion of that draft. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport says the NFL will not discipline Sorsby for currently known prior misconduct, but maintains the right to investigate his conduct beyond what is in the current public filings. Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. You try to go to war with the NFL, you lose. Like, that, you just... That's when they released that on him, that there would be no supplemental draft, they just... It was one of those things, they were playing chess. And they just said, we're not going to worry about suspending him. We're just not going to hold the draft. We'll see in 2027. So I'm sure finally he got some good legal advice, because it seemed like in that letter they were spanking his attorney more than anybody else. I think he probably got some good legal advice and he realized, okay, I did really well the last year at Cincinnati. I got the $5 million from Texas Tech. Let's hire some coaches and let's start training. So that's going to be his process. I'm wondering, will he do it at Cincinnati? Will he do it down in Texas? Who knows? Or it could be in Southern California too. I guess he's not linked to any particular college. But yeah, this always seemed inevitable to me. Once the NFL said no, there's no winning.
So this is a thing on a couple different reasons. And you're right, Bo. Like, you can't take on the NFL. I think we talked about this the other day. No. They had like 60 lawyers on retainer.
Yeah.
At like $600 million or something like that. They're just the bigger bully in all of this. And they will stretch out any litigation or court process. And they'll just keep doing it until you run out of money. The other thing here is, I don't know how Sorsby, like, he probably could do some kind of suit here against the NFL. But again, he would have ran out of money and future earnings really quick. But yep. The NHLPA or the NFLPA, and they could have sued on behalf of Sorsby, I guess, because they can sue in behalf of future members.
Yep.
If they want to change rules or things like that. But how would that have been for them suing for this guy to get into the league this year when what has happened with Jameson Williams? And I know they have contracts and there's rules in there, but some of the other guys in the harsh punishments there, like Jameson Williams wasn't even betting on football, but he had to serve a 6-game suspension?
Six? Yeah.
Because he was doing it in the locker room or at the team facility and didn't go across the street. So I think this would have been a very slippery slope for the NFLPA, too, and they were like, dude, you're just better off sitting this out.
He is not a member of the NFLPA, so they were never going to fight on his behalf. He's not in the league. Like, they can't. They were never going to set that precedent that they would fight for him. If they held a supplemental draft and he was drafted, okay, fine, then they'll fight. But they're never going to fight a fight for a guy who's not a current member. It's just not anything they would ever do, and it's not worth the hassle of it. This is the way it's going to shake out for him.
I will say this. I did not think that if he went to the supplemental draft and went to the NFL that they should suspend him. Mm-hmm. They've done it in their way and he can't play football. I do like the precedent set here with this that, look, if you do this, we don't care. You're not playing anywhere.
Yeah.
I do like the only way you can get people to stop doing this possibly or keep it under control is to have stiff penalties for it.
Take something that matters to them, and then the behavior will stop. It's just like raising kids.
I saw this come down the pipe a couple minutes ago from Shams Charania. Free agent guard Mike Conley Jr. has agreed to a one-year deal to sign with the Boston Celtics. The 38-year-old Conley becomes only the 14th player in NBA history to reach 20 seasons. It'll be his fourth NBA team. Thing or not a thing?
What an incredible career for Mike Conley. You think about how he was kind of the he was the incredible side that came with the main course of Greg Oden, and now he's 20 years in the league. It's incredible. Does he live around here in the off season? I heard that he did at one point, but I'm not sure.
I don't know on that for Conley, but just an awesome thing for him. Is he career earnings wise the best Buckeye ever? As far as probably, that in the NBA?
I think he probably... Mike got one massive payday, but Michael Redd. But yeah, I'm sure it is Mike Conley. I'm
so as of right now, and the numbers aren't out for what his one-year deal, probably veteran minimum with the Celtics, $295 million.
I thought I remember that after he signed last year, that he was coming close to $300 million, so this will probably definitely... I would think put him over that, and good for him, because maybe he can chase a championship here with the Celtics. Who knows?
Jake needs to get him locked in on NIL.
That was the first thing I thought of after seeing $295 million. Be like, ring, ring. Yes, yep. Mr. Conley.
Yep, absolutely.
I saw Baker had this in the show sheet, and this is with great sadness. I report Kroger announced Wednesday it's acquiring Giant Eagle in a $1.65 billion deal. It adds 200 stores to its portfolio. Giant Eagle has supermarkets and pharmacies, great supermarkets, across this region. The awful supermarket Kroger says they expect to close the transaction by 2027. Kroger sucks.
You're really anti-Kroger. I had no idea.
It's always chaos. They never have any of their self-checkout machines open, and the prices are more expensive than Giant Eagle.
Are they? I was always a Giant Eagle guy.
I don't think that's true. That was the one thing I was going to say, is hopefully Giant Eagle's prices come down a little bit.
Yeah, I was always a Giant Eagle guy, Market District guy. Those are a big deal when those start opening up around here. I like those, how those are set up. I wonder if they'll make all the Giant Eagles Krogers. Will there be Kroger Market Districts?
You would have to.
The government needs to step in and actually regulate something. They did it because Kroger tried to buy the Andersons a couple years ago, and the government said no.
Yeah. Yeah, they're it, though. I mean, the Kroger's it. I was in a Wegmans. I'd never been in one of those before. That's a scene, man. I was in one of those in Richmond last weekend. You ever heard of Wegmans?
I've heard of them.
They should all become Publix.
They kind of are like Publix, except bigger Publix and nicer.
Expensive, though, too.
Bigger and nicer for Wegmans than Publix would be the way I would break that down. Time for a little Hey Guys coming up next. Still time to get your questions to the fellas at 971BFS. You can also do so in the YouTube chat live. Tim May coming up at 11:30. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. NHL's free agency officially kicks off in an hour. Zach Werenski has already exercised his no-trade clause. NHL insider Elliot Friedman reported the Blue Jackets had a verbal agreement with the Stars for the Norris Trophy-winning defenseman, but Werenski vetoed that on Tuesday. Other reports say Werenski's camp has told the Jackets the Lightning or the Maple Leafs the preferred destinations. NBA's free agency is underway. Buckeye great Mike Conley signed a one-year deal with the Celtics. In the World Cup Wednesday, Team USA battles Bosnia and Herzegovina at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Kickoff there is 8 p.m. Winner moves on to the round of 16. Also on the pitch today, England plays the Congo at noon in Atlanta. Belgium battles Senegal in Seattle at 4. In baseball, the Clippers beat the Bats 5-4 on Tuesday. Both teams are back at Huntington Park tonight at 7:05. The Reds dropped their third straight, a 7-2 loss to the Brewers last night in Milwaukee. Both those teams are back at it tonight. You can hear Reds baseball Wednesday night right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The friends are the guests and listeners.
Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a First Friday. Get your officially endorsed coming up at 11:48. Tim May coming up in 27 minutes. Time now, though, for a little Hey Guys. Hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag #HeyGuys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by Rose Pest Solutions.
We got a bunch of great ones today in the YouTube chat, so we might have to extend this. Thanks to all of our wonderful chatters and even those who interact on Twitter for constantly giving us great content. We'll start with Phil, and this might be my favorite one. Okay. He asks, would you rather watch a USA World Cup match or get tackled by Arvel Reese every day as soon as you get out of bed?
Well, Bake, how about it?
I mean, of course you're going to watch the World Cup, I guess. I don't know. Like, is he tackling me into my bed? Maybe it wouldn't be as bad then. I don't know. Do I go right back into the bed? Do I go into the wall or the nightstand? Like, I'm not sure how this is going, so of course.
What would be amazing is if it was like Groundhog Day and you didn't know it was coming every morning.
I mean, that'd probably be like, better, because you wouldn't tense up. Maybe you wouldn't get hurt.
Who is the answer to that if you could receive... Who's the hardest... I think I know the answer to this, I ask it. Who's the one Buckeye in history that would scare you the most doing Oklahoma drill against?
Jack Tatum was called the assassin.
Yeah, that helps.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, Alonzo Spellman was literally crazy, I think, so that probably would have been
was,
bad.
Sadly.
Bad Big deal. Cat. Big Cat.
Big Cat.
That's good.
I saw he did that poor Missouri quarterback. I have a feeling he would
be. I thought you were going to say anybody, not just Buckeye, and then it's the, I mean, the obvious answer is Terry Tate, the office linebacker.
Office linebacker, Terry Tate, yeah. Steve Atwater had one. Yeah, Jack Tatum, that's a pretty good one, too. The assassin's a hell of a nickname, yeah.
Ace has a great one in the YouTube chat. Hey guys, this is a question for Baker. Do you think FIFA should expand the bracket again for the next World Cup, allowing for some smaller and newer countries into the world's game?
Expansion is never better. Never better. Don't expand your tournaments.
Chris being a real Debbie Downer in the YouTube chat. Hey guys, let's say the worst happens and Ohio State loses two games this season. Would you rather lose those two games to Texas and Indiana or Oregon and Michigan?
Isn't this actually a question?
Like, yeah.
Come on,
it's
Chris.
Obviously, it's Texas and Indiana. Also, the timing of Texas and Indiana would be more helpful because you'd lose in week two, so you'd have plenty of time to get back. You'd lose to Indiana. It's in October. That's like week 8, 9, somewhere in there. You'd have plenty of time to get back, and you could still play for anything you wanted to play for. Yeah, this isn't particularly close.
You don't want
the better one would be, would you rather lose Texas, Michigan? How about this? Would you rather be 11-1 and lose only to Michigan, or be 10-2 and lose to Texas and Indiana? Or Indiana and Oregon? That's probably the better one. Just wait it a little bit so it's more weighted in favor of the vitriol for Michigan.
So that's such an interesting question, Bo, because 2 years ago, the undoubted answer is, well, you only want to lose one. And yep. Now you can lose two and you're still getting in. So I don't want to lose to Michigan ever. Now,
so you take the 10-2?
Now, look, if it's lose to Michigan or win a national championship, of course, you're going to want to win the national championship.
Yeah.
You're going to take that. But other than that, I don't want to lose to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's without question, you cannot lose the game to Michigan.
So 10-2, lose to Texas or I think the one that would hurt the most would be losing to Oregon and Indiana.
Yes. That would be the worst of the two combination.
Yeah, 10-2 and your losses are to Oregon and Indiana, but you beat Michigan.
We'll go with Mills in the YouTube chat. Hey guys, if Z and Marchenko both get traded, do Blue Jackets fans, especially season ticket holders, revolt and stop going?
No. No, because they've proven over the years that they don't, that they continue to show up. It's one of the great fan bases in the sport. I've often wondered and was curious, like, if the Jackets ever, like, really had one. Like, if they ever had, like, a run like Carolina's had the last 5 or 6 years, or over the last 20, really, for them. Like, how would this city explode around it? We get just a little taste when they beat Tampa Bay, but that's been a long time at this point. No, I don't think that they will. I think that they'll continue to show up and root for their team, the diehards of the diehards. You'll lose all the bandwagon. Like, if you're restarting, and there's a big bandwagon part in this city of people who are ready to jump on if they're good. But no, I think they'll still be there. I think that's just how loyal that fan base is.
Yeah, the diehards have been through this before.
Yeah.
They've seen it. And I will also say this. If these trades happen this season, this offseason, I have full faith that Don Waddell is going to get pieces back that will help them stay competitive. And when I say competitive, like fighting for a playoff spot or pushing to, you know, getting into the playoffs, chase the eight, mm-hmm. as you like to say, Bo. I don't think they're dropping back to the bottom of the NHL. I think they're going to get pieces that are going to help them fill out this roster and maybe even make this roster deeper. So I don't think the sky is falling for the Blue Jackets.
Connor in the YouTube chat asks, hey guys, what was or is your dream car?
So when I was a kid, it was the, boy, that's a good one. When I was a kid, it was the Ferrari Testarossa that they dropped in Miami Vice. So they had a Ferrari Daytona, I think, in the early part of Miami Vice, which was a black convertible, and then they went to the white Testarossa, and that was one that I remember being infatuated with as a kid. And I just like saying Ferrari Testarossa. It's just a good thing to say. But I think now it's 911. It's the 911. That's where I want to live. That's I can drive that. That can be an everyday car. So I'll go 911.
So I've never really been the biggest car guy. Just get me to where I need to go. When I was a kid, I kind of enjoyed the Dodge Stealth and the 3000 GTs. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I feel like I kind of had my dream car. I had a nice F-150 four-wheel drive crew cab truck that I drove for about 10 or 12 years. And I love that thing. You give me another one of those, I'll be happy.
Well, what happened to it?
Well, it just got old and throwing good money over bad, and eventually you moved on. But
All right. I mean, we have Ford dealers here. We can get you back into one.
Get hooked up with that.
Yeah. I mean, we have people who advertise on this station who are Ford dealers that can take care of you on that.
Just a lowly producer over here.
Reese?
Growing up, I thought the Hummer H2 was the dumbest looking vehicle, but I wanted one so badly. I thought, that's so obscene. There's no need for that.
It's hard for people, and it's funny, like this comes full circle with LeBron James, because remember he got in trouble his senior year at St. Vincent St. Mary because he had that Hummer, and that was the H2. Arnold Schwarzenegger put that on the map when he was driving around the H1 mm-hmm. in like the late 90s, and everyone's like, my God, that looks awesome. And then they built the H2 and it went nuts. Then they actually built an H3, and then it just kind of stopped. I don't know if gas prices went crazy or what, but then it just kind of stopped. And then they've had the electric models now for the last couple of years. I don't know anybody who owns one of those, so I can't speak to how those are going.
Didn't the H3, didn't they try to make it more SUV, smaller,
it
kind of went away?
It was smaller, yeah. Yeah, it was a smaller one. Yeah. Bobby Bowden drove one. He had a maroon H3 that he drove around with little seminal striping on it.
There's a guy that worked at a Burlington High School that had a big yellow Hummer.
Yeah.
H2, and I remember thinking that's the dumbest. You don't need
it. It's a massive vehicle to drive around UA, man.
Didn't they only make them in like yellow, red, tan, and brown, or black?
I think it was pretty limited.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. Do you guys know anybody who's got one of the electric ones?
No.
The electric Hummers?
I didn't even know they were making an electric.
I was about to say, I didn't even think they tried that.
Remember, that was the Super Bowl ad with LeBron. He did the crab walk in it. Remember, it paid off from him as a kid. So, yeah,
GMC still pumping out electric EV Hummers.
Yeah.
Paid $100,000 on it, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll continue with the Hey Guys after this quick timeout. Tim May in 18 minutes. Bishop and Friends are here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State,
yes, yes it is.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Stay cool again, friends. We have a sunny and hot day ahead with our feels like yet again soaring into the triple digits. Skies turn mostly clear tonight, but we don't cool off that much with our lows in the mid-70s. And then for Thursday, another sunny, hot, and muggy day with highs in the upper 90s and our feels like into the triple digits. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
We'll get back to the Hey Guys in a second, but this from Darren Drager of TSN Canada. It's been assumed that Knies will be part of a package of Toronto lands Werenski. See how things develop, but there's a chance the Leafs won't have to give up the power forward if this trade comes together. If he's not a part of it, then they're not doing Nylander. Obviously, they're not doing Matthews. They're not doing McKenna. Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking? Then if he's not in it, then don't do the deal. Yeah. Say Zach sit for a year.
I don't know how that's possible. If you're Don Waddell and you're the Blue Jackets, I don't know how you can do that.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, you do have some. You can't just be railroaded by this thing. Like, you have to work together a little bit. There's got to be something coming back. Can't take 8 cents on the dollar on this thing. All right, back to the Hey Guys we go. Go ahead, Reese.
I guess you can have that actual second meeting that was reported.
Yeah.
Ace asks, hey guys, what are the best toppings and condiments for the two main cookout foods? He means hot dogs and hamburgers.
So, I don't know. I'm going to get a lot of hell for this. I like the same thing on both. So, I like mustard, ketchup, onion, pickle, tomato on both. And then cheese on the burger. Got to be American. I don't want it to be real cheese. I want it to be the gooey, melty American cheese that's some sort of a thing that somebody cooked up in a lab. I'll even do cheese on a hot dog. I don't mind that all either. So, my condiment choices on both of those are pretty close to the same.
So, on a hot dog, just give me some shredded cheese. I'm for it. I can do mustard, I can do ketchup, but I just prefer it without. I prefer just, I'll lay the cheese down in the bun and then throw the hot dog right on top, and I'll eat it that way.
You say shredded?
Yeah. Hmm. On the hot dog. For a burger, definitely give me some American or cheddar cheese. Now, at a cookout, this is kind of hard, but I love egg and bacon on a burger. Okay. I think that's great.
Okay.
That's kind of difficult at a cookout.
I was about to say, the cookout.
By the way, I'm going to tell you, by the way, hot dogs and hamburgers are tough at a cookout. Because, I mean, I know that your whole thing is I'm cooking them the way I want and you're going to enjoy them. I'm doing the cooking.
That's right.
That's the only way to do it. I'll do like a smash burger now on the grill, and that's made it easier. But in the old days when it would be like medium rare, medium, then that's a pain in the neck. So
who's coming to your cookout saying, this is a little too well done for me?
You got to meet my in-laws.
Come on. Meet my in-laws.
Well, yeah, in that case.
Yeah.
It's the 4th. You're celebrating America. Stop it.
Reese, what's your condiments on those two?
So I'll usually go with a slice of cheese, even on the hot dog. Like, I'll just tear the slice and just place it on both. So because when you go into a cookout, for me at least, I want to do things that don't require, like, cleanup. And shredded cheese, shredded lettuce, no thanks. You get slices of cheese, slices of lettuce. I can forgive ketchup on a hamburger. I like avocado, so you get a tub of guacamole and just say spread it on. But you got to put the buns on the grill too.
Yeah,
just for a little bit. This from
That's Card. A game changer when you do that. You get the crispy. Yeah,
because at one point you can't go back.
No,
at least unless you've had a couple of pops and you've already had your burger with the crispy bun, and so after there the pops, like, I just need another burger. Well, here's a bun.
There you go.
Cardinal asks, hey guys, what's your favorite holiday and why? He says he likes the 4th because the weather is good, everyone can find something great, and there is a ton of daylight.
So the easy one is Christmas. That was my favorite as a kid. It's my favorite as a parent. There's a magic to Christmas that's hard to describe for me. I just think it's pitch perfect, and I love everything about it. I don't have a problem with him going 4th of July as a non- what I consider, like, there's the big ones. I don't think 4th of July is considered in the level of your Christmas, your Easters, your Thanksgivings, those type of things. I do love the idea that it's longest day of the year. In my youth, this always meant the Shoto Rodeo, was in was the 4th of July show to a rodeo. I remember one year they had Willie Nelson play at it. Dave Letterman brought Willie Nelson out to play. So that was really, really cool. So that was always a big fun one. And while the reality was you were kind of halfway done with summer, the reality was also that you still had another half of summer to go. The problem with Memorial Day is the weather is very rarely great. It just isn't. It's a total crapshoot. Labor Day is incredible because you get all the football, but, you know, you're done with summer. So I don't have a problem with 4th of July being really highly rated on this list.
So, Bo, I know you're not a fan of turkey, but I always enjoy the eating at Thanksgiving, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the pumpkin pie, all of that. I have always kind of had a special place in my heart for Memorial Day because that was kind of your kickoff to summer. Now, the weather, especially here recently,
it's crazy,
has not been great on your Memorial Days, but that was always like the first big pool party, summer is here type.
Well, we know Reese's answer.
You know where I sit and stand on this? I stand on the 4th of July. I sit on Northwest Boulevard.
That's right.
Thanksgiving's a close second. Thanksgiving's second. There's a chasm, I should say. Because the turkey's undefeated. I wish the Michigan game was before, because it adds a little bit to it that weekend. Because I would just like to have Thanksgiving with NFL games and be unbothered by the idea. What's become more anxiety-ridden over the last couple of years, is Ohio State going to win this freaking game?
Yeah. Yeah, I hopefully they go back to that. Hopefully they get the calendar right and go back to that.
I saw this on Twitter with the Mike Conley news.
Okay.
Is there any Buckeye that's had a better professional career from a winning and a longevity standpoint than Mike Conley? And I couldn't find one.
A winning, if you put the finances into it, then no. Then I think no, he is the answer to that. Now,
so are
football
we doing
wise,
any that's
professional,
what I was
gonna say, professional sport. So
football,
Jack Nicholas.
Okay,
but
well, that's a whole Jack's on a different. That's a whole nother stratosphere with Jack. Like, if we're going to have Jack in it, then that's a lifetime of accomplishment and wealth and design and all the stuff that Jack represents. I think probably is Orlando Pace the Buckeye who had the best NFL career. Like first ballot Hall of Fame,
Cam Hayward.
Hayward's Cam been will be that a long time.
Cam's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
You know who's a sneaky one in this? Just as far as longevity and making money for a long time and being around is Teddy Ginn.
Yeah, yeah, he was around a long time.
So what do we say on Conley? 295.
He's almost $300 million in career earnings and. Yeah, I mean, he's got to be the wealthiest Buckeye for professional sports except for Jack. I don't know if it's particularly close.
Yeah,
Hayward. Mike might be second. Mike Redd might be second.
15 years for Hayward, 146. Oh, only $146 million.
Oh. But okay. Cam's going to be a first ballot gold jacket.
Chris Carter had a long
That's a
NFL
good one.
Career.
It's a good job, babe.
Some good
That's
teams.
That's a very good one.
Just trying to think of who potentially.
Tom Tupa had a long career, but
yeah,
he was around for a long, long time.
Because Hayward's going into his 16th season. Conley's got 20. So it's wild because he'll be the 14th NBA player to do 20 seasons.
Joey Galloway lasted a long time. Did he get a Super Bowl at the end?
You know who had a really good one was. Malcolm Jenkins had a really
that's
long
a good one.
Career. And all right, here are the Buckeyes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Chris Carter, Sid Gilman, Randy Gratishar, Lou Groza, Dante Lavelli, Dick LeBeau, Orlando Pace, Jim Parker, Ed Sable. I didn't realize Ed Sable was a Buckeye. The NFL Films guy, I didn't realize that. Paul Warfield and Ben Willis. Those are the Buckeyes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pretty good list.
I'm also just seeing an apologies for bringing this down, but Calais Campbell passed away?
Oh, no.
I'm seeing this from the Arizona Cardinals. At this time of unfathomable tragedy, our hearts are with Calais Campbell and his family. So it might not be Calais, but someone in his family might have passed away.
Oh, jeez.
It's a little different.
Yeah. Well, wasn't he under the weather? Or didn't he have, like, wasn't there something with him from a financial standpoint? Or not financial, from a medical standpoint? I believe that there were. We'll continue to track that down. This is a good one from Senior Snegs. He writes, "Hey guys, outside of the current situation with Orensky, name a situation in sports history you'd want to throw through the moon door. What is a story you're just so sick of hearing about in the minute of it?"
Sorsby.
That's a recent one that was pretty good.
This Z News, I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah. There's been plenty of times when I wanted to throw, I mean, the amount, this is before you guys' time, but like the amount of like Tebow Moondor, Kaepernick Moondor stuff that I would have wanted to do over the last 20 years was pretty significant. Two very, very different circumstances. It was just like all people wanted to talk about for a while. Those two jump out. And yes, the Z one, that's a Moondor situation, especially if Toronto doesn't have to give up anything to get him, if that's the way that that's trending, which is not something I'm going to be a very big fan of, nor would any of you out there listening. Tim May in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Reeser's mustache is so nice, it has its own area code.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a first Friday, normally a Friday visit, but in this instance, a first Friday visit with our good buddy Tim May of the Tim May Show with Clay Hall. I didn't have a chance to talk to you about your experience at Shinnecock, so I wanted to start there, and then I have some Tyson stuff for you as well with him turning 60. Let's start at Shinnecock. Where would you rank that golf course with the other U.S. Open golf courses you've been to?
The top of the heap in terms of just presence. You can see the whole golf course from the clubhouse, just what it looks like there. I mean, you can do the same thing with Oakmont, but I just like this one because somebody had a vision in the late 1800s to build a golf course there. Of course, I think they had visited Scotland and stuff where they'd been doing that for a couple of centuries, but or at least a century. But then number two followed through and made it one of the great venues in the sport, and has never wavered from that. You know, they redid it back in the late 1920s and 30s. I think the guy was named William Flynn, who kind of added on to it, so to speak, added on to its ambiance, but never lost the fact we're going to make this a tough test of hitting a little ball and hoping it quits rolling before it goes into some kind of sandy or loamy situation. So I was extremely impressed. The thing I didn't like about it, and Scottie Scheffler probably would say the same. I think it was hit or miss when it came to the putting aspect of things. Because number one, they were only 10 on the stimp meter to begin with in the weekend, and then they went to 11. But the thing, you could see the thing getting, for want of another term, lumpy a little bit, you know, on the greens, which made precise putting on already an 11 stimp meter green extremely difficult. So, but I just think just from awesome Clay, I just called you Clay. I'm sitting here recording my podcast right now, Bo. That was a compliment, Bo.
Well, I take it as one. I love Clay Hall. Clay Hall's my guy.
I could have called you Dom, but
yeah, don't do that.
Just the sheer magnificence of that course and how hard it looks before you ever play it. It's number one of the five I've been to so far.
If you could be a member at one of the five you've been to so far, which one would you be a member at?
Pinehurst, because it reminds me of where I grew up in East Texas, believe it or not. Yeah. And the thing is, if I get tired of playing number two and getting beat down, I go play number eight or something, right?
Yeah, you got 100 courses there.
Yeah, Shinnecock, you got Sabonic. We talked about that. I think you were at a bachelor party there one time, and
Sabonic and the
National Golf Club, and then Southampton, which, you know, I told you a member there said it's tougher than Shinnecock, and I go, well, but this is the one they're playing the tournament on, so I got to.
That's right.
We'll see how that goes. But the bottom line is, Pinehurst, only because what a nice layout that entire setup is down there.
All right. Mike Tyson turned 60 yesterday. You were the only local reporter who went to cover the bout in Tokyo.
Yeah.
The sliding doors moment of him, of Buster beating Mike Tyson, and what happened in the years and days and such that followed is one of the great sliding doors moments. If Mike beats that, then he's going to face Holyfield thereafter. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but that probably would have been the biggest fight of the last 25, well, the last 40 years now at this point, if they would have gotten that when Mike was undefeated. It didn't happen. Don King's in town for the next year, kind of worrying about legalities. What was that lead up to that fight like for you to cover and to just see the Tyson mechanism and then the year that followed after the defeat?
Buster was in the, just summation, Buster was in the greatest shape of his life, in my opinion, at least as a big-time heavyweight. He wasn't always that way. He'll be the first one to tell you that. Number two, Mike Tyson was not in the best shape of his life, and plus his management, you know, had changed dramatically, including the guys in his corner. And you just saw a Mike Tyson was seemed to be more floating along or cruising along on his reputation more than getting ready to knock somebody's head off. I'm telling you, I followed him into the ring before he fought Frank Bruno at the Las Vegas Convention Center. He was on the same Buster was on the same card there in a support match. But I followed Tyson in just because I wanted to see how people reacted to him. And the oohs and the ahs, almost the quiet, you know, here comes the king, so to speak, right? But the other thing stood out to you was when you're behind Mike Tyson, I've never seen a man built to throw the uppercut like that guy was. I mean, what was he, 5? They say 5'11". He was probably 5'10", probably still is, you know.
Yeah.
But man alive, you let him get inside and throw the uppercut, you know, it's all over. As Michael Spinks said when he fought him, he says, I threw my two best jabs at him, and he walked through them like he was walking through rain. That was, you know, he knocked Spinks out in, what, a minute, 20 seconds or less than that. But the point is, the guy looked the part. He looked menacing. He always had the scowl on his face before he had the tattoo on his face. He was already scary enough without that tattoo on his face. But the bottom line is, but he was not in great shape. And that's the reason I picked Buster to beat him. Everybody thinks I picked Buster only because he's from my hometown. You know, that's what Jeremy Shep took me, left that part out of the thing he did, the 42-1. No, I picked him every chance I got over there because I could. Buster in great shape was as good as almost there was at that moment in time. And Mike Tyson was not in great shape. And I told you that story right after the fight because I did interviews over there because nobody knew who Buster was in the media. And after the fight, I'm sitting there in the Tokyo Dome, and I feel this presence. I look up, and there's this Japanese TV reporter there, and he starts bowing to me. And he goes, you, Mr. May, you pick Douglas. You pick winner. And he goes, and he pulls out his card, and he slaps it on the table in front of me. He goes, later, you, me, we drink. And
I go, hey, man. You bet it?
Yeah. I said, no, man, hey, man, I really appreciate that, but I'm on deadline here right now. And so he goes, oh, so sorry, so sorry. But at least I figured out that some people respect a good sports writer.
Yeah, that's especially when you have a tip. You know, yeah.
Buster wasn't able to follow it up. There was a big brouhaha about getting the next fight, you know, and it ends up at the Mirage. He's against Holyfield, and it's Buster who doesn't get himself in shape and gets stunningly beat, what, in the third round by Evander Holyfield. His career was never the same. Mike Tyson's career was never the same after getting beat because it made him vulnerable. I asked him after the fight, you know, I said in the press conference, I said, Mike, you knocked out 31 guys. What's it like to get knocked out? And he goes, he basically gets philosophical. He goes, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but something like, listen, my friend, you don't judge a man by his success. You judge him by the way he comes back from adversity. It's pretty much what he said. And that just opened my eyes. This guy, people can say all they want to about it. This guy is a pretty deep individual. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has survived all these years being Mike Tyson in some form or fashion. And that's a testament to what he meant.
That's what I was going to ask you because of all the experience you had around it. Because I was trying to put it into words. And to me, I think like Mike Tyson's a little bit like Bo Jackson. Like you had to see it. To believe it, and it's really, I try to explain it to my kids, and I'm like, talking about Tyson, they're like, Dad, he lost, he's not a top 10 heavyweight of all time, and I'm like, well, it's almost like you had to see it to believe it.
I was out there when he fought, Buster was fighting for the IBF championship, and Tyson was fighting to unify the WBA and WBC championships. He was fighting Pinklin Thomas, So I'm right ringside. This is, I think, 1989 when Buster got upset by Tony Tucker in 10 rounds, but came back and won in 10 rounds, obviously over Tyson. But I watched Mike Tyson knock Pinklin Thomas across the ring with a left cross. I mean, I've never seen a grown man who's bigger than the man fighting him get hit that hard. I mean, he knocked him all the way across the ring. The ropes are the only thing that kept him from going another 50 feet, the way I looked at it. But, dude, he was unbelievable live. You could, like I said, I followed him into the ring just to see how people reacted to him. Everybody knew this guy was different. You know, there's not very many times in life you come across someone who's iconic, who is just different. And he was, still is different, but he was in the ring. He was in his ballywick.
It's not Ali Frazier or anything like that, but it is probably the end of the golden age of boxing, is it not? That late 80s, early 90s, and then it just hasn't been the same since, whether it's MMA, UFC, whatever. But I always, when I talk to people such as yourself who have covered big heavyweight fights, the consistent thing I get is there's nothing like it. And I just don't know if we're ever going to see something like that again.
As I like to say, it's two guys in their underwear with gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them is headhunting. You throw some body shots to loose them up or whatever, you know, but each of them is headhunting. They want their prime point is to knock the other guy out. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, You almost have to be there. You know, I think you've seen fights, like you pointed out.
You almost
have to be there to really understand what's up, where you can hear the punches, you can hear the grunts, you can see the blood coming out of a guy's mouth, you know, or his nose. Mm-hmm. And but by the way, the denouement kind of was slow because Evander Holyfield was a proud champion, really liked what he did. And I remember George Foreman, after I wasn't at the fight, but I watched it on television. George Foreman, after he got beat by Holyfield, you know, he was so much bigger than Holyfield. But his big line after that fight, his big line was, "That mule can kick." I mean, you know, Evander Holyfield beat up George Foreman. I don't know. Everything comes and goes. I'm not a big fan of UFC and all that stuff, where it deteriorates into a wrestling match on the canvas. Often, I'm not a fan of that, so I kind of lost my interest in boxing also.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, there was a time it was the biggest thing in this country in sports, and now it's off. I got about 30 seconds.
John Johnson made it happen for, you know, Buster, and then Buster followed through. Go ahead now.
Absolutely, I'll get you out of here on this. You got about 30 seconds. Are you into the World Cup?
Very much so. The game the other night, Morocco and the Netherlands, where you saw one team afraid to play offense and the other team coming up with an incredible goal to push it to OT and then winning on penalty shots. And you see guys, or another term, Bo, kind of choke, right, on penalty kicks. It just shows you the fervor that's involved and the pressure of the moment. But that was a hell of a game.
Yes, it was. USA tonight. There's not the penalty kicks thing. It's the best worst way to end a game is kind of the way that I describe it.
But so, you got to end it. You can't play all night.
To. I guess not. No. All right, buddy. Good chat as always. Get back to Clay and the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on Fanstream Sports. Hey, good talking to you, buddy.
Hey, we're not talking about hockey. You know, we're not talking hockey here. We're talking.
No, we're not. We're not.
We're talking about running up and down 100 meters. Yeah. But anyway.
All right, buddy.
All right,
we'll
man. See you. Appreciate it, brother. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll get you officially endorsed at three things on a first Friday up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ice. Can't go in dry like that.
Some people do.
No, that's not good.
Three consecutive drops right there. Back to back to back by you three.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Race, what have on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. asks, are you watching USA versus Bosnia and Herzegovina tonight in the World Cup? 77% say yes.
Yeah, I think it hits nicely. Like, it's a first Friday. It's in prime time. That's going to be, that'll be a big number. Big number tonight, and then it only gets more interesting going forward because of some of the opponents you're going to have to deal with if you continue to win in this thing. Could be a fun ride. It is a first Friday. Time to hit your officially endorsed. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Look, in 3 days from now, we are celebrating 250 years of this fine country of ours, greatest country on the planet. And so in homage to that, I thought to myself, you know what? Let's find a little bit of history here at our officially endorsed. And so this is what I will be partaking in this weekend. I'm going to have a Yingling. Yingling is the oldest American brewery in the country. I thought about Sam Adams because of the patriotism, but Yingling came first. So, and I prefer Sam Adams to Yingling, but we'll pay some homage to those cats on having it done first in the early 1800s. And then the bourbon one is an easy one. That's Evan Williams. They actually make a 1783 Evan Williams. Evan Williams is the first bourbon distillery in this country, and it was founded in 1783. They've been at it that long, so we will go that route. On the Evan Williams, I'll do it on rocks with a twist of lemon because it's so damn hot. The Yingling will be just chilled in a chilled glass, and we'll do it that way. So those are your officially endorsed on this fine patriotic First Friday edition of the program. Time for three things. Hit it, fellas.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
I got to tell you, number one for me, the folks at EA Sports are nothing short of cruel. So they have the pre-order of the NCAA college football game has been going on for a month. And so yesterday I bought it. And assuming that we would be able to go, the boys would be able to play. So Bootsy's up at 6 o'clock in the morning, like sprinting down there to play. Well, turns out they've added another tier this year to their early releases called MVP Plus. So this will cost you like $135 the first year, and then $149.99 every year going forward after that. So I'm not sure exactly everything that you get in it, but one thing you absolutely get in it is a copy of the NCAA and the Madden games. And with that, you also get them dropping first. So the reality is, despite the fact that I pre-ordered, despite the fact that I did the deluxe edition for all the little extras that the boys want, they can't play until July 6th. That's a brutal, that's a bitter pill to swallow for the fellas.
Does this year's edition come with Madden?
That's what I was just saying. If you do the MVP Plus, it does.
Okay.
But so, then you're on a Netflix style. So it's $139.99, and then next year it charges you $145.99.
So NBA's free agency is rolling along. You got NHL's free agency officially starts in 10 minutes. ESPN says the Lakers now have a new big three with Austin Reeves, Luka Doncic, and former Jazz center Walker Kessler, who they just signed to a four-year, $130 million deal.
Yeah, he actually fits. I mean, that's what they need. They need a big who can shoot, who can go catch lobs and dunks from Luka. I mean, that's what they need.
I just don't know about a big three.
It's not a big three. No, not far from it, but it is what they need.
So, Reese, you mentioned NHL free agency starting 10 minutes from now, and I got to tell you, there's been a lot of trades this week and a lot of movement, and one of those teams that's been doing a lot is Nashville, and Nashville has former Blue Jacket front office assistant GM Chris McFarland is their GM now, and they're pulling off deals, and I understand Don tried to make a move last night for Werenski, and he vetoed it, and Porty said he hasn't tapped the brakes on that. He's moved on to other teams trying to get this Werenski thing done. It sucks seeing all these moves and teams getting better, and the Jackets have done nothing. And I understand this Werenski thing is front and center, and it's really big for Don. There's things out there to improve this team with or without Zach, and they haven't done them yet. And it's a little unnerving.
It is. It's a in Don we trust, I guess, is the way that that's going to have to be handled. Number two for me, so this heat wave, I'll tell you what. You want to break a dog? This will do it. Like, Buddy Garrity can handle this for about 5 minutes. And he's like, I'm done, Dad. Can we please go back in? There is not another weather circumstance than this one that is more stressful for him. And so just a reminder for all of you pet owners out there, it's really hot. Do not leave them outside. Obviously, don't leave them in parked cars without air conditioning, so forth and so on. Take care of your buddies over the next couple of days, because it is absolutely brutal out there. It's an oven.
Yeah, we can maybe get halfway around the block, and Odie looks at me, he's like, this isn't it.
This ain't it, Dad.
No, he's getting his teeth cleaned today, so he'll be out for the next day.
Yeah.
Shams Charani is saying that LeBron James, I don't know if this is a cause of what the market now looks like, but he'll take a veteran minimum to compete for a championship.
Okay, but then what is that? Where?
Golden State, Bo.
And it's funny because it makes me think that some of this stuff is personal with the Lakers, because he would never, all of the reporting leading up to him saying, I'm not going to play a Laker, was he will not take a discount. Now all of a sudden he's going to play for the vet minimum somewhere else.
$4 million is the vet minimum.
Yeah. Watch so you're going to go from $57 million to four, and now all of a sudden now he'll play for anybody for the vet minimum. Obviously a lot happened behind the scenes in Los Angeles.
Watch him go to Oklahoma City or San Antonio.
He's so weird.
Second thing for me, and Bo, you kind of touched on it a little bit. All you people that were asking for this, you wanted it hotter. I hope you're enjoying this. I don't want to hear you complain one bit. I do not. I'm like Buddy Garrity, Bo. I hate this. I can't stand it. I don't want to be out in it either.
Yeah, it's tough. It definitely is tough. Finally, number three for me. So the blonde is somehow sick. NBC is sick. I'm fighting it like hell. I don't even understand it. Like, it's late June, early July. And I said this to my wife, and she goes, well, you made me stay in a cockroach hotel. Okay. All right. Forever. Forever it's on me. All the illnesses.
It's going to be the ultimate Uno reverse card, too. Like, you have something in September, you say. She'd be like, remember that time you made me stay in a cockroach hotel? I'd be like,
that's right.
What's that have to do with this?
What's it do with anything?
The one player that I thought if anybody should make a move on this offseason was Mitchell Robinson in terms of the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's signing a 3-year, $74 million deal with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, they'll like that. Yeah. That's a nice. They're putting a nice squad together there.
Final thing for me, don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice live out at the U.S. Senior Open. They are at Scioto Country Club. They're going to talk to Justin Leonard at 1 o'clock.
I was on a plane with Justin Leonard to Montana last summer. We were on the exact same plane, set right across the aisle from one another. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. Enjoy your first Friday. Act accordingly. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.